Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Friday, July 24th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, in an eight-hour meeting that ended after midnight, Philadelphia school board members heard from more than 100 parents voicing their concerns on sending kids back to school amid the COVID-19 pandemic. On Thursday night, officials presented experts to try to ease those fears. The choice of many parents in Philadelphia is whether they want their children attending school 2 days a week or choosing to go completely virtual. Philadelphia Health Commissioner Dr. Thomas Farley and his assistant Dr. Stacey Callum said they looked at studies in Australia and Ireland where schools have reopened. Schools are not hotspots for COVID-19 transmission, said Callum. We see no evidence that schools are important contributors to community-wide transmission. We do think schools in Philadelphia should open up for on-site instruction this fall, Farley said. But already in just one day, 2,000 of the 125,000 students in the Philadelphia School District have opted for online learning when schools are set to reopen on September 2nd. Superintendent Dr. William Height said face-to-face learning is particularly important for children from circumstances of poverty. I worry about these children falling further and further behind without the assistance of some face-to-face instruction, said Height. He asked for another week to rework his reopening plan. The meeting ended with no decision just after 12:30 this morning, and school officials voted to recess until next Thursday at 4 p.m., so they'll resume this again next week.
Do you guys know anybody that thrived in the last quarter of the school or last trimester? Because I do. I know somebody that did extremely well outside of the classroom.
No kidding.
Yes.
Okay.
Extremely well. Like.
Extremely well?
I have to accentuate that, like, you know, sometimes maybe the classroom isn't the best thing for everybody, and then
sometimes it
is.
And I believe
You know, the school is definitely not a one-size-fits-all thing
I was watching actually a special about this and all this information about how many parents will learn that there are options outside of a traditional school that's going to be more beneficial for their kids and different ways to approach. There can be takeaways that in the long run might benefit students. What's happening here, though, and what to this point, is that this really impacts lower-income families.
It really does.
It causes a gap that's going to be, and they were estimating it could take 5 years, 4 or 5 years to catch up to where they are left behind.
There's that gap in the summertime anyway, and when kids go back and how far they fall behind once they get back to school and they have to, you know, catch them up. And now you talk about this, these kids haven't been in school since March.
It's a big hit.
Potentially not going in the fall, it's really going to put them back.
My son's actually had a more difficult time with remote learning, but I do know that some people it is more conducive. Like, my daughter did really well with it. So
It's wild, man.
Yeah. There was a report out of California that said, 35-40% of students did not log the full time. These are things they have to jockey back and forth with. But you do have kids if you can.
But I think it's going to be different this fall, at least in some districts. In the spring, what they did was it was almost like, because nobody really knew what was going on, it was almost optional.
Right.
You know, so like if they didn't log on, they didn't fail.
Why did they go with almost that's out of the gate? Like, because my neighbor is a teacher, he says, you know, the funny thing was is that it took at least a couple of weeks for just the faculty and teachers to get up with running the Zoom and getting all that stuff in line.
Well, because nobody was trained in it.
Nobody was trained in it.
And even going into this, and Kath, you probably know better than anyone else, even going into this next school year, some teachers are going to be well more equipped than other ones because some schools are requiring training while some aren't.
Yeah, and so they'll have to log on now in the fall.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? It's a different story now. Like, some kids in some districts are going to have to be on at a specific time when the teacher is there for instruction. So it will be a little bit different. But, you know, now they're reworking the plan. So they're going to meet again on Thursday. This is for the Philly School District. They'll meet on Thursday to discuss again. A newborn baby who died in Berks County may be one of the youngest victims of COVID-19. The Berks County Coroner's Office says the 26-day-old girl died shortly after being being admitted to Reading Hospital on July 19th. An autopsy on the baby was conducted on Monday, at which time a COVID-19 test was also performed. The coroner's office said it received positive test results Thursday afternoon. More tests are needed to determine whether the coronavirus played a role in the baby's death. It's too early to say with medical certainty that the death is either from or related to COVID-19, said Acting Coroner John Hollenbach. More than 75 different hand sanitizers are now being recalled because they've tested positive for a toxic chemical called methanol or wood alcohol. We talked about this before.
Yeah, it's just awesome.
Well, and here's the thing, because now I'm every hand sanitizer I get, I'm looking at the ingredients because I'm trying to make sure it's not on there, but it's not listed. They're not listing it on the bottle.
All the
so
ones
even
that
if
I
it
have...
has it, it's not listed on the bottle. How would you know?
The ones I have list the ingredients.
No, I know, but what they're saying is these bottles, because they're lying where they're coming from, they're not listing that methanol is in it.
Yeah. I don't know.
The Food and Drug Administration expanded its list of hand sanitizers with methanol contamination this week. The FDA said the substance can be toxic when absorbed through the skin or ingested. It can cause short and long-term health problems and be potentially life-threatening if ingested.
Okay, so does methanol happen to smell like tequila at all?
No, Casey. So I saw a story on that, and you're actually okay with the tequila hand sanitizer.
Okay, good.
They're saying that basically these distilleries and these places that are making the hand sanitizer now, that it's going into whatever, barrels, containers where the alcohol was, and so you're getting a little bit of that smell because it's just sitting in there.
Yeah, it's like beer aged in a bourbon barrel. You get a little flavor.
You get a little flavor.
Right,
Okay. The agency is aware of adults and children ingesting hand sanitizer products contaminated with methanol that has led to recent adverse events, including blindness, hospitalizations, and death, the FDA said. Earlier this month, the agency reported seeing an increase in hand sanitizers that are labeled to contain ethanol, but have actually tested positive for the methanol contamination. Voluntary recalls have been issued, but some products may still be found on store shelves. If you go to FDA.gov, you can see a full list of hand sanitizers containing the dangerous ingredient.
Well, the good thing, and we've been employing this ever since we've been doing the Camp Out for Hunger, and Rodney has made, our engineer made sure that we always had hand sanitizer. But the rule of thumb basically is you can do hand sanitizer a couple times, but then you have to wash your hands.
Then you have to wash your hands.
Yeah, you can't just do just hand sanitizer.
Yeah, exactly. All right, in sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
What the f*** is that? The Major League Baseball season finally started last night with zero fans, umpires wearing masks, and National Star Juan Soto sidelined by the coronavirus. Washington pitcher Sean Doolittle was supposed to catch Dr. Anthony Fauci's way-off-the-mark ceremonial first pitch, said, "It's hard to describe. That's 2020 in a nutshell." As for the game itself, Garrett Cole pitched five strong innings, and the Yankees got hits from Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge with a 4-1 storm-shortened win for the Yankees over the defending champion Nationals. The Phillies start their season at home tonight with the game against the Miami Marlins. Aaron Nola will get the start, and game time is set for 7:05. Yay! The Washington football franchise will call itself the Washington football team, pending the adoption of a new name.
No, really?
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
No.
The team will continue to process the process of retiring the former name and hopes to be entirely rid of it on physical and digital spaces by the regular season home opener against the Eagles on September 13th.
The Washington football team has taken the field. They'll be taking on the San Francisco football team. They are going to play football.
I mean, it sounds like, you know, like a mom. It's like, they're going to go play the football.
And then have your beers and talk about sports.
Case, you're right. They will still use the burgundy and gold color scheme, and the logo on the helmet will be replaced by the player's number in gold. The Washington football team will debut its home uniforms in week one against the Eagles and its road uniforms in week two against the Arizona Cardinals. And Seattle's NHL team, which will make its debut in the 2021-22 season, announced its name, the Kraken, as well as the color scheme.
I
blue
like that.
And
yeah.
Phil blue.
McCracken.
I like it.
Yeah, the Kraken is cool.
It's badass.
Blue and navy blue and with red accents. The NHL officially named Seattle as its 32nd team in 2018 for a $650 million expansion fee. Andy Jassy, who was part owner of the team, told ESPN, "It's a very unique and unusual name in sports because almost all sports franchises end with an S. There are a lot of obvious connections to Seattle, part because of our maritime history, part of because we have so much water around us, but there's a long time folklore in Seattle and the Pacific Northwest of this mystical kraken creature that lives just below the surface of the sea, which really captivated people for many years.
It's cool. They had briefly flirted with Wilma Fingerdew, Preston.
And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right. Thank you very much, Kath. So here we go on a Friday morning, and we are happy you're with us. We have a lot of stuff taking place. We're going to give away a Word of the Week prize, some golf packages from our friend Ron Jaworski and his golf courses. It's full passports available, so we'll do that at the end of the program. We also have joining us as a guest, we promise, Bert Kreischer will be on today.
Odds look good.
Odds do look good, and he is all set for the live-in, drive-in concert series that's taking place, and August 16th is when his show will be at Citizens Bank Park. We are presenting the show, and if you're good, we might have a chance for you to win some tickets. That's right, for a carload. Four people per car and the whole deal. Now, Bert's done a few of these drive-in shows, so he is the veteran. He's had some experience. We'll talk to him about this morning and see how it has gone for him.
There's footage, I believe, on his site or his Twitter page of him doing a couple of these shows, and they look like a blast.
They do. So we got Bert coming on around 9 o'clock, some other things to give away. So we're going to dive right into the commercial break, come back in a second, get into the entertainment report, stupid question, and more. Make sure you stay with us on this somewhat of a wet Friday morning. We'll be right back.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Snazzy.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So the stupid question, we're going to give away a 24-karat gold-dipped rose from Steven Singer Jewelers, and the question has to do with George Herbert Walker Bush.
Mm-hmm.
And what vegetable was Bush famous for disliking?
Yes.
215-263-WMMR. I miss the fun controversies that President's office brought. What vegetable was Bush famous for disliking? It was all over the news at the time. 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. And I'll go through a whole lot of celebrity birthdays today, Friday, July 24th. Jennifer Lopez celebrates her birthday today. She is 51, and I did not see the most recent movie. What was the strippers?
Hustlers. Yeah, Hustlers. She was good in it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I watched that movie up until probably, I think maybe there was probably like 20, 30 minutes left. We had it on our screeners, and the time period, which I didn't know, ended. So I went back to finish it. Like, I had to, like, get up or something, and I went back to finish it, and I couldn't log back in. I'm like, are you kidding me? So I've never seen the end of the movie.
I have it on Blu-ray or whatever, so I'll let you borrow it. Yeah.
Thank you.
51 today. Barry Bonds, the baseball player who broke a gazillion records because he was whacked out of his minds on steroids.
and is now a Caucasian, right?
Caucasian? No, that's Sammy Sosa.
Sammy Sosa, that's right.
So Barry Bonds is 56 today. Bindi Irwin, daughter of late crocodile hunter Steve Irwin.
Just got married.
That's right. Was she on Dancing with the Stars?
She was on Dancing with the Stars.
She's very, very pretty.
She's kind of following in his footsteps with her career.
Her brother, though, is exactly Steve Irwin.
Her brother has
the same presentation, the same sort of deal.
Yeah.
And he's instantly likable as well. It's like watching, you know, Steve too.
Yeah.
Boy, you want to see something weird? Watch the Crocodile Hunter movie. Have you ever seen that?
I remember it. I didn't see it.
It's part dramatic film and part nature conservation. It's really weird. I don't know how they weaved it together, but I was watching this one day. I'm like, wait a minute. What am I watching?
Yeah.
It was really strange.
I remember it. I never saw it. I have to check it out.
Yeah.
Or maybe I don't have to check it out.
It's really, it's an odd intertwining of genres. It was interesting. Anyhow, she is 22 today. Ruth Buzzi, Steve.
Love Ruth Buzzi.
Actress and comedian.
I was just talking about her with you.
84. That's right. We're talking about a laugh-in thing.
Yeah, well, the D. Martin Rose. Yeah. She would come out as Gladys Ormf. Wasn't that her name?
That really frumpy
character.
Right.
She'd come out and she'd always hit people with her pocketbook.
Yeah.
And so she comes out and She says, you know, they were roasting Angie Dickinson, who played police woman. Long story short, though, she says, I was a police detective. I was known as the woman of a thousand faces. And so Dean Martin says, well, why did you wear this one? She starts beating the crap out of him.
She's 84 today. Linda Carter, the original Wonder Woman, is 69 years old today.
If you want to talk about a body that is very much like a drawn cartoon body, that's what Linda Carter had.
Yeah.
I mean, an hourglass figure.
She was Miss America, right?
I think she was.
Okay.
Or a contender.
Yeah, she was definitely a beauty queen.
Miss World USA 1972.
Okay. So 69 years old today. Director Gus Van Sant is 68. He's done some great films. Good Will Hunting being one at the top of the list. My Own Private Idaho, Drugstore Cowboy, a bunch of stuff.
Did he do the version of Psycho that was basically a line-for-line remake?
Shot-for-shot remake. That might have been him. I'm not sure. With Vince Vaughn?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. Did you see in Jay and Silent Bob, they have Gus just sitting off in the background because they're filming Good Will Hunting 2, and all he's doing is just sitting there counting cash?
Yep.
And so Ben Affleck or Matt Damon, like, so action, Gus? Or,
yeah,
just keep going, boys.
He's 68 today. Anna Paquin. Everything from True Blood to X-Men to The Piano when she was a kid.
The Piani.
Yeah, she won an Oscar for her role in The Piani.
Were you a True Blood guy, Preston?
No. I never have seen it.
I was.
Yeah, I was. I think I watched all. I mean, listen.
I hear you.
It's a show. Okay, I'm done.
No, go ahead. What are you trying to say?
Well, I was trying to say it's a silly show about werewolves and vampires, but by the end of it, it just got so dumb and so,
okay.
I was going to say unbelievable, but the source, you know, original material is silly as well. But also, a lot of nudity and sex in it.
Okay. She's 38 today. Michael Richards, Kramer from Seinfeld, 71 years old.
He had an onstage meltdown.
Yes, he did. He called some black patrons in the audience the N-word.
Yeah, and brought up lynching and all that sort of stuff. And that's really not a good comedy act.
We really haven't seen much from him since then.
He did a little. Did he do any of that reunion stuff with Curb Your Enthusiasm?
He did, yeah. But, I mean, essentially he was just playing
Michael
the character that he'd been playing for most of his career.
He's 71. Kadeem Hardison, who was Dwayne Wayne on A Different World, is 55 years old.
So he
today.
Does this thing for the Sideshow Collectibles, you know, the where I get all my figures. Mm-hmm. Some might call them toys. and he does these unboxing things that are very funny, Preston. He's a huge superhero fan.
Awesome.
So he'll unbox like a big, you know, Hulk versus Wolverine thing. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And he starts describing it. It's very funny.
I love it. He's 55. Robert Hayes, who was the star of the Airplane movies.
That was a fun conversation when we were talking about that.
73. Yeah, when that movie celebrated its anniversary.
40th, yeah.
Yeah. It's a great movie. Kristen Chenoweth.
I love her.
She's great. Yeah, she's 52 today.
There was recently footage of her crying over the death of that Glee star. What's her name?
Naya Rivera?
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
And Steve, she's in The Descendants, of course.
She's in The Descendants, yes. Man. You know, I love all three of those. But have you seen the other two yet,
Preston? I didn't see the third one. I did see the second one for sure. But she's 52. This one's for Casey Rose Byrne. I know you love her.
I do.
And she's been in a lot of stuff. Bridesmaids, X-Men First Class, Insidious.
You know, I find her very, very sexy as a Neighbors, Preston. Case, you know, where the Zac Efron and the frat moves in next door.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
Yeah.
But
it's Neighbors, you're right. Yeah.
Okay, yep. And a movie that I absolutely love she's in. It's an ensemble cast. It's called This Is Where I Leave You. She is 41 today. And the last birthday I saw is Elizabeth Moss, Mad Men and Handmaid's Tale, and Invisible Woman.
She's really good in Invisible Woman.
And I cannot wait for the second season.
Invisible Man, I mean.
Or the next season of Handmaid's Tale, which doesn't come out till next year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, but that's an amazing show. She's great in it. She is 38 today. All right. See if somebody knows the answer to this question. Herbert Walker Bush hated a specific vegetable. What was it? It was all over the news in the time when he was a president. I'm going to go to George. Hey, George, good morning.
Morning, guys. You guys rock.
Thank you, George. All right. What vegetable do we speak of?
That man didn't like broccoli.
Broccoli. Hey! Hang on a second, George.
And my testicle's black.
We're going to set you up with a 24-carat gold-dipped rose From Steven Singer Jewelers. Steven Singer Jewelers has fast, free, safe shipping. Whether celebrating life or just saying I love you, Steven Singer is there for you. Visit IHateStevenSinger.com.
Are my testicles black?
He's talking about his dad in
yes.
that clip. He's talking about Herbert Walker.
Who is asking, are my test results back?
Yes.
And was heard.
Are my testicles black?
That's right. Are my test results back? All right. We're going to start with Kim Kardashian. She will not allow Keeping Up with the Kardashians to film her husband Kanye's latest bipolar incident, according to TMZ. The rapper, who launched a presidential bid earlier this month and is currently staying at their Wyoming ranch, has been sending out distressing tweets this week about divorcing Kim and keeping her mother, Kris Jenner, from the kids. Those tweets have been deleted.
I mean, that's kind of refreshing or a little reassuring that at least she's taking this seriously and saying, no, this is not going to be part of our show.
It's sort of weird, too, at the same time, because they've done everything else. Everything else about their lives has been fodder for the show.
Yeah, but you know what? This is mental health. Like,
no,
this isn't something to,
I
like...
hear you. It's just, you know.
I also see it as, Kathy, they don't want the grimy parts of their life to be a part of their
yeah.
show.
And earlier in the week, she was talking about wanting to highlight mental health and using that as an issue as a platform. And they have one of the biggest platforms on the planet. So this right. would be a way to show somebody in their family intimately dealing with mental health and the negative repercussions.
But maybe after the fact.
Maybe.
Like, while if he is going through something now, like, now's probably not the time to throw a camera in front of his face.
While fans might...
be some great TV.
While fans might want to see the behind-the-scenes turmoil documented, Kim has been banned from the show from using his struggles as a storyline.
How prominently, I don't watch the show, I make fun of the show, but how prominently has Kanye figured into episodes up to this point?
No
I
idea.
Think, I don't think he has.
Otherwise, wouldn't we have more?
We would have more.
Yeah. I got to believe that, Steve, but I refuse to watch it. She is also reportedly shielding their four kids from some of Kanye's outbursts, including one in which he said that he had wanted to abort their eldest daughter, North. Kim's sister, Courtney, meanwhile, is helping out by taking her kids to Balboa Island in Newport Beach.
I'm glad to have everyone here. It's a thrill to have you all on Balboa Island. Arts and crafts that will teach you all the fun things like kayaking.
And also
it stinks, but it stinks in a good way.
So, they're going to go to Balboa Island in Newport Beach while Kim reportedly tries...
It's like Fantasy Island and he's Mr. Rourke.
Oh, no.
Well, again, Balboa Island. I need a midget.
Oh, dear God.
Is that not correct to say?
Not correct
that's
to say.
That's not correct to say. Dwarf.
A little person.
Okay, that's better. Little Stallone. Yeah. Little Rocky.
Little Rocky.
Yeah. Kim also publicly called for compassion amid Kanye's breakdown, and Chris is speaking out, too. Instead of directly addressing Kanye's state of mind, she posted a video on an Instagram story of a box of beignets.
Beignets.
Yes.
All right.
Beignets.
Everyone gets a beignet on Balboa Island.
Beignets are good, man.
They are good.
Yeah. That is basically the New Orleans dessert.
Yeah, it's like
you've got to have,
it's like a
right?
New Orleans donut.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So
you're better than that.
I'm sorry.
I ordered a beignet. You brought me a donut. You're better than that.
She got the beignets from the bakery that's called Beignet Box.
Beignet Box, Balboa Island.
That's right.
Been there, done that.
They're spending time on Balboa Island. All right, Johnny.
The plane.
Johnny Depp can be a remarkable man when he is clean and sober, but when he's not, he's a monster, according to Amber Heard. She told this at London's High Court on Thursday. Court was read a series of texts that Heard had sent to her mother, Paige, in 2013. At the time, the 34-year-old described Depp as, quote, violent and crazy, and said, I'm heartbroken that this is who I love. Heard wrote, it's terrible, Mom. I don't know what to do. And another one read, he's nuts, Mom. In a third, she wrote, I feel like I'm on a very fast train that's about to explode, but I don't want to jump off and leave my love behind, so I stay on the train even though I know it's about to explode.
He's my doodlebug.
Wow. Heard also testified that in 2013, Depp hit her so hard with the back of his hand it caused blood to hit a wall. So she had told the court, I was so in love with Johnny at the time. We had had a wonderful year together where he was sober and clean, and that is how I got to know him. And Johnny, when he was like that, is generous, loving. He is a remarkable man when he is like that. I loved him, and I didn't want to lose that. The other side of him was a monster, but I always held out hope that he would be get clean and sober.
So, okay, at this point now, as it goes back and forth like a legal ping pong game, do you think now they've the defense has provided enough evidence to suggest there were enough incidences of physical violence to say he was a wife beater?
I don't know, because what can it? I would have to go back and read the source material right. originally and see, you know, if they portrayed it as Amber Heard has said this,
right?
Then, you know, I can't see the paper being in any trouble for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. And also, you're dealing the texts at the time provide context, so there was no case, no litigation going on. And that would bolster her case.
Yeah,
so, I don't know.
So keep in mind, it's about the yeah. newspapers, it's you know, printing these things. But if they stated it as in, you know, Amber Heard has alleged that right. Johnny is a wife beater and so on and so forth. So it comes down to that. It's not necessarily whether you, I think anyway, whether you believe one person did one thing or the other. It's how they portrayed it.
In England, they are a lot more liberal with their cases like this against newspapers and against what they print and libel and slander and things of that nature. So I'll be curious to see how it plays out.
Heard sister Whitney Enriquez, who lives in one of five penthouses owned or lived in one of five penthouses owned by Depp in L.A., testified as well, saying that he had kicked her out of her rent-free apartment. That must have been
how dare he?
After the 57-year-old accused her of selling pictures of their wedding to a tabloid. Enriquez denied being responsible for selling the pictures, but said that Heard had believed it at the time. She added, I think she was hurt. I don't think she was angry.
Five penthouses.
We
heard about his extravagant purchases. You remember when that yeah. whole thing about his money and his finances came up? He was just buying up yep. real estate
that
like
island.
Crazy. The island.
Yeah. In her witness statement, which was presented to the court, Enriquez stated, Johnny accused me of leaking and selling stories to the press about him and Amber to my friend Sarah Kitnick, who is a journalist and was then writing for People magazine. She also said that she begged her sister not to marry Depp, adding that she had noticed early on signs of abuse at his hands.
Hello, Johnny. I'd like to interest you in the Balboa Island.
Wow. He might be. Yeah, if he's buying up property.
What does it look like? It looks like an island. Surrounded by water and a palm tree with coconuts.
What more do you want? Enriquez said, in fact, she was tipping me off about stories that other media outlets were going to publish about Johnny and Amber's upcoming wedding and warned me that the other people were going to send helicopters over the wedding and things like this. It was not true that I was giving or selling information, but Johnny used my relationship with Sarah to accuse me of selling stories to the media.
At this point, doesn't your brain start to bleed with all this information? It's crazy.
Amber believed him and was devastated. I was upset that she believed Johnny over me, and there was a long period in 2015 when I was estranged from Amber and Johnny because of this. Now, before their estrangement, Jepp and Enriquez were actually good friends. The court also heard that Depp had vandalized a painting given to Amber by her ex-girlfriend, artist Tasia Van Rie, and he changed her last name to Van P.
Oh, he does that, right?
Yes, he does that. When Depp sent her a photo of the damage, Heard's sister had responded, "The Van P painting earns you 20 points in my book," because they were friends at the time.
Uh-huh.
Depp has denied abusing Heard and has asserted that he is the victim, and it continues.
He really likes
course.
the poo-poo and the pee-pee jokes.
He loves it, man.
Yeah.
That's his thing. Yeah.
Pee-pee.
Cracks you up, doesn't it?
Think about the character he played. Think about him playing Whitey Bulger. What a menacing character.
Mm-hmm.
And here he is making pee-pee poo-poo jokes.
Yeah, you're right. How about this one? Prince Harry is no brain trust, especially when compared with his super smart wife, Meghan Markle, says Lady Colin Campbell, the author who is promoting Meghan and Harry, the real story. And she's
incredibly stupid.
She told New Magazine via the Daily Mail, in my opinion, Harry is a much less intelligent character than Meghan is.
Yeah, here's someone trying to sell a book.
And I think he's so desperate to please her and go along with whatever she says.
You're an idiot.
No matter how ill-conceived it is, he is that besotted with her. Campbell also claimed the couple has a very strong relationship, but Meghan is the dominant partner because Harry is besotted with her.
He's besotted with her.
Harry did struggle academically, by the way, so I have some facts here for
you. All right, let's hear it.
Yeah. All right, and was held back a year.
Was he?
He eventually graduated Eton College with two A levels, a B in art, and a D in geography.
When do we start Eton?
By the way, Eton College is a high school. It's not a college.
Oh.
One of his former teachers dubbed him a weak student and claimed that staff had conspired to help him cheat on exams.
I specifically remember him constantly eating paste.
A tribunal found that the prince had received help in preparing his A-level expressive project.
He often took loose-leaf reinforcements and put them on his closed eyelids.
Which he needed to pass in order to attend Sandhurst, but didn't rule that it was cheating. He did not attend college, like I said, and instead completed officer commissioning training at Royal Military Academy Sandhurst.
He was a helicopter pilot, though. Yeah, he's not a dummy.
No, but he might be not as book smart as,
I'm smart.
Meghan. Meghan, who graduated from Northwestern with a double major in international relations and theater.
Double major.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Double major.
Is reportedly.
Double rainbow. Oh, my God.
Is reportedly planning a birthday party outside of L.A. where they are quarantining at Tyler Perry's estate. She is planning to throw a party in Montecito for close friends, all of whom will be tested for COVID-19 ahead of time.
Do you know any couples where the one spouse is much smarter than the other one?
Oh, yeah, you're looking at him. Hey, yeah. You are looking at him. Same thing with Casey.
Yeah, totally.
We freely admit that.
Yes. My wife is a genius.
God, we had a sit down with our financial planner yesterday.
Yeah.
I checked out after 20
minutes.
You're
playing games on your phone?
Oh, yeah. I was surfing, surfing social media and so on. I'm like, you guys lost me, man.
I remember
when
I bought my house and I was like playing games.
Yeah.
And like, my brother was like, do you even know what you're doing here?
Kathy, when we bought our house, I had to bring two things. I had to bring a license and another form of identity.
Did you forget something?
Did you bring a coloring book or
crayons?
Yeah.
I got clay. I brought clay.
I had to leave and go
get
my birth certificate. Yeah.
I thought I was supposed to bring the crayons.
You had to bring two things.
Yeah, I did. No.
I left Mr. Potato Head's mustache in the car.
That's the best one.
I feel like saying my way, honey, you can't die before me because I don't know what to do.
I don't know where anything
I'm aggressively attempting to die before Claire because I don't want to have to deal with that.
I don't know where anything is.
Taxes? Yeah. I don't know
Texas?
What to do.
What? I have to go to Texas.
No. All right, let's get into some other things. How about this? After accusing Jeremy Renner of taking and abusing drugs and requesting that he get tested for the safety of their 7-year-old daughter, Ava, his ex-wife, Sonny Pacheco, has filed a motion to investigate his finances. Her filing is a response to Renner's recent motion to reduce his child support payments from $30,000 to $11,000 per month, saying that he is no longer collecting paychecks from the Avengers series. In his filing, Renner claimed that Pacheco used child support as a slush fund for her lavish lifestyle. And he also wants his business manager to control the child support funds instead of Pacheco.
I have to imagine Jeremy Renner's worth a ton of cash from just the Avengers. They all became fabulously wealthy from the Avengers.
Mm. In her filing, she demanded that Renner and his manager be deposed so that she can grill them about his income, assets, and financial status. She is also claiming that Renner has been reckless with her daughter's health during the pandemic, and in addition to a drug test, wants him tested for COVID. Pacheco reminded the court of an alleged 2019 incident in which he put a gun into his mouth and threatened to kill himself while Ava was nearby. Wow. The pair have been duking it out since splitting in 2014.
You know what? When this stuff starts to happen, the lawyers start to suggest that make this claim or do this, and this stuff starts to come out, and it gets so messy.
And ugly.
Ugly.
Yeah.
These accusations lie, and they'll take something that's small. Now, mind you, sometimes they're legit, but you see so many of these things that are like, really?
Well, spiteful things start to come up. And then it's like, And that's hard to reel it back, I would imagine, to sit down and say, can we just be adults here? And this can all be over if we get through this part of it, and then we're done. You know, but then again, you have kids, and that's very, very complicated.
Yeah.
Young kids. How about this? Speaking of young, love has no number when it comes to Dennis Quaid and his 27-year-old new wife, Laura Savoie.
Oh, yes, it does. It does have a number. It's 27.
Yes, that's right. The 66-year-old told Hoda Kotb and guest co-host Maria Shriver on the Today Show, "There's 30-something years between us, and we just don't even notice it."
She knows it.
"I've never related to someone in my life better than we do. We have such a great relationship, and, you know, love finds a way wherever it is."
He's in great shape, though. He doesn't look anywhere near his age.
Yep.
So it doesn't look like one of these disgusting pairings. They actually look like they're okay together.
Yeah, he said, "You never know when love is coming, who it's going to be, and you have no control over it. We just couldn't be happier."
And then you turn around, and it's someone who's 30 years younger than you are.
Yeah. Fans are going to be seeing a lot more Dennis Leary. The star and his production company, Amoeba, have inked a deal to develop and produce series for Fox. He'll have the option to star in any series. So I guess they have an option for multiple deals.
Yeah, yeah.
He said, "Everyone at Amoeba is excited about this partnership, and we look forward to creating new cutting-edge content at Fox, as well as using their luxury suites for the World Series games and the Super Bowl."
I wonder if this means good things for Adam Ferrara, because he's good friends.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah.
I really hope so. You know what? Yeah, you're right. Might be worth checking in with him and seeing.
See what's going on.
Yeah. Empire's Taraji P. Henson is set for a spinoff featuring her character Cookie from the show.
Yes.
Now,
it's called Cookie Monster.
I never watched Empire, but I have a thing for Taraji P. Henson. Mm-hmm. I love her.
Yeah.
And I've heard tons of great things about that character, Cookie.
She was, to put it in relative terms, she was the Joan Collins. She was the matriarch, the bitchy character,
okay,
the lovable character. She basically the show was her.
Her production company, TPH Entertainment, will produce the show, and the deal is part of her newly signed first look deal with 20th Century Fox. Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds are well-known Instagram trollers, and the latest has the pair updating the word on the non-existence of their fourth baby, or updating the world, I should say. On Wednesday, Reynolds took to Instagram to make an announcement about his 2010 movie, Buried. And I love this quote. He's so clever on social media. He said, "Before Deadpool, I was an actor. And one of my favorite projects was a film called Buried, and it's now on Hulu."
I just watched it the other day.
Is it good?
Yeah, he's buried. He's in a coffin.
He wrote alongside an updated clip of the film, and it now features aviation gin signage. He wrote, "10 years later, it really holds up, although I don't recall the aggressive product placement."
That's hilarious.
Mm-hmm. And then Lively had commented, she's good too, on social media. She said, "I think this just got me pregnant." And Reynolds fired back, "I will be out of the office starting July 22nd through the middle of forever and ever. If you need immediate assistance during my absence, please contact someone, anyone. Otherwise, I will respond to your message as soon as possible upon my unlikely return. Thank you."
I don't think I'd be able to watch this movie, Steve. I would just get way too claustrophobic.
Nick, I tell you what, it does exactly that, because there are parts where he's being told by, well, I don't want to give it away, but there are two people he's in communication with, the people who put him in the box and people who are trying to find him. And he conserve your air, and he's like,
no.
And he's like, calm down.
I get nightmares.
Yeah.
All right, two more very, very quick things. The Bill and Ted Face the Music will skip the classic theatrical route and debut on premium video on demand and in any cinemas willing to play the threequel on September 1st.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably the smart way to go. Otherwise, you're not going to get a wide distribution.
Nope.
You know, so you might as well go for it.
My son Parker became aware of Bill and Ted recently.
Oh, really?
He's intrigued by it.
Yeah.
So with that, the largest U.S. Movie chain, AMC Theaters, says that it will postpone reopening theaters from July to mid to late August due to the coronavirus resurgence. So they were planning on opening, but they're going to push that back.
And there are some theaters that are open around the country, but not enough to make this any sort of substantial opening.
Right, exactly. So, what I was going to say is you're going to see these, you know, dates continue to be pushed back and moved and so on as things develop. All right, it's Friday, which means we got to hit the movies that are opening in one way or another. Okay, The Rental is opening. It is rated R. It is a horror, mystery, and suspense film directed by Dave Franco, and it stars Dan Stevens and Allison Brie.
Who's Franco's wife.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. And it's in theaters starting today, and on disc and streaming today as well. It's about two couples on an oceanside getaway. They grow suspicious that the host of their seemingly perfect rental house may be spying on them, and as well-kept secrets are exposed, and the four old friends come to see each other in a whole new light, all kinds of things open up.
I love stuff like this. I love these kind of movies.
72% at Rotten Tomatoes, by the way. Also opening this weekend is The Big Ugly, and it's rated R. It's a drama, and it's directed by Scott Wipe. And Wipe.
I use Scott Wipes exclusively at home.
It's... stars Vinnie Jones, Ron Perlman, and Malcolm McDowell. And it's about Neelan, who has always been the loyal enforcer for crime boss Harris, back in London, taking care of problems and people that disrupt his illicit business. While Harris strikes a deal with an old friend, American oil man Preston, they find themselves in the wild hills of West Virginia. Neely's girlfriend disappears. Last scene with Preston's wayward son, Junior. Lines are drawn between family and friends. The movie has no score so far and doesn't mention opening where it's opening. I assume it's on demand.
On demand.
All right. So there you go. All right. Now time for the clips, if you will. The world's top dancers collide for $1 million prize in NBC's World of Dance. In this clip, honorary judge Stephen Twitch Boss discusses why judging is so difficult for him on the show.
I'm coming from a standpoint where I love dance anyway. One of the last episodes, I said to two of the dueling acts that it's hard because what we're doing right now is basically judging two pieces of art. I actually love both of them.
I don't think I want to see it.
You familiar with this dance show, Kath?
Yes, I am. I don't watch it. I've never watched it, but I know people that love it.
All right. New episode of World Dance premieres Tuesday, 10 o'clock on NBC. Here's the next clip. Dave Franco's directorial debut, we were just talking about this, is being delivering in brutal fashion.
Oh,
right. Here Dave talks. They just hand these
then
to
come
me,
to known know. As.
Here Dave talks about why he made his new horror film, The Rental, feel ultra realistic.
The scariest ones to me are the ones that you watch and think, oh, that could actually happen to me. And what I've heard from a lot of people who have watched the film is... everyone starts thinking about and reflecting on every rental home they've ever stayed in. I hope that the movie does have a lingering effect where it does stay with you.
Shut the fuck up!
The Rental is available to watch on demand today. And there you go. That's what I got for you this morning.
Nice. Before.
All right, that was a long one. It's already 10 minutes after 7 o'clock. We got to take a break. We'll come back in a little bit. Bert Kreischer is on the show this morning. Go to PrestonandSteve.com. Marissa put this together, the Bert Kreischer's greatest moments on the Preston and Steve
show. It's really good.
Yeah, it's a nice walk down memory lane. But we'll talk to Bert around 9 o'clock. We'll be right back.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast, 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
I saw this story this morning. This made me smile. I think this is great, and I want to get some feedback on people who have made a pact in their lives,
right,
with someone, and whether you just had this long-standing agreement or you've ever had to make good on whatever this pact may be, because a gambler who promised his friend that he would split his lottery winnings with him if he ever won has made good on his pledge after winning $22 million in the Powerball jackpot.
Oh, good for him.
And he's going to give his buddy half of the money.
Oh, that's
half
nice.
Of his $4 million winnings.
That's what it says split, so yeah. I'm assuming it's half.
Thomas, yeah, I won $4 million.
Really? Thomas Cook.
I thought
and,
it was 21.
Thomas oh, no. Cook and Joseph Feeney have played Powerball weekly since it started in 1992, and they made their vow back then while they were dreaming of what they'd do with the cash if they ever won. So nearly 30 years ago. They made this agreement, and they're sticking to it.
So I saw the story. What I didn't find out, Preston, is are they close? Have they gone in and out of each other's lives over the time?
Good question.
Because that would even add an extra element of commitment to this. But regardless, it's still generous.
If you have a pact, if there's an agreement that you've made and you're going to stand by it, whatever it may be, I'd like to hear about it because, you know, some of these have legs. 215-263-WMMR. Or somebody who kind of welched on their deal in the pack that you are going to be willing to follow through on. Feeney originally, by the way, thought that Cook was kidding when he told him that he had won the jackpot. Neither Cook nor Feeney have extravagant plans for the windfall. They're both now just looking forward to a comfortable retirement. I don't know how old they are, but we're looking at a picture of them. So they look like they're, you know, over 50 years old, so good for them.
Yeah,
I wonder if the pact of, hey, if I'm not married in 15 years and you're not married in 15 years, do you think those have ever come true?
I made that one
time. Did you really?
Yes.
And it wasn't with your current wife, I assume.
Oh, no.
Okay.
It was
no.
with his first wife.
And to be honest, it was just to get laid that night.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And we were drunk and, sure.
All right.
Absolutely. And, oh, my God.
But have they ever actually
I never would have made good on that. No way.
Sorry.
It was Rochelle's mother.
So. Yeah.
No.
Oh, my God.
Though I bet you, so I had made that same pact with a friend, Marlene. I got married, though, so I'm okay.
Right? You didn't have to.
Yes.
Me, too. I got married.
Yeah, I got married, and I found the perfect woman for me, but Marlene would have been the fallback. I did make a pact, though. My friend and I, this is years ago, and I haven't communicated with him in years. So I said, if I'm ever very sick and in pain, I want you to come and put a bullet in me.
Huh. Shut up.
Yeah. So this is what if I am, I want you to be the one who takes me out. Wow. And we made this pact because it was, I don't forget which in the news case was going on at the time. And I'm thinking, I wonder how good he is at assessing my pain.
Wow.
It was sort of that pact, like, when all that talk before Kevorkian and all this
stuff,
man, I don't want to wither away.
Yeah.
I don't want to be, you know, where no one is assisting me in this and I'm trapped in my own body. I think we've both seen that movie, Johnny Got His Gun. Do you remember that movie?
I remember the title. I don't
remember
the movie.
The soldier who's trapped in a bed and he's you're hearing his thoughts, but he's in pain and he can't communicate.
Oh, that's what One from Metallica is about.
Right,
yeah,
right. Okay. So it's that story, and I think that's what spurred that conversation on.
Steve,
so we made that pact.
In my mind, I have the scene from The Revenant when Tom Hardy's standing over him going, just blink your eyes if you want me to kill you.
He's like, he's going to blink anyway.
My eyes are burning.
Pull my finger. Right. If I fart, I'll kill you.
Hang on a second. Here are some calls coming in, and we want to hear about your pact, 215-263-WMMR, whether or not you've made good on it, or it's still the longstanding pact, or maybe even somebody kind of welched on it. Let me go to our first caller, who is anonymous. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Preston. Steve, how you guys doing?
Doing well.
Good, buddy. So tell us what your pact was with who and how this all happened.
Okay, this was my best friend growing up from high school. We grew up all through life. I want to start off saying, too, that I'm a recovering addict. So anyway, long story short, when we were really young, we had a pact that if one of us died, we'd snort the other one's ashes.
Snort the other one's ashes.
Oh, my God.
Snort or smoke?
Snort. And we were both messed up on drugs really bad. He actually did pass.
Oh.
And I was still using, and I actually did it.
You snorted?
Oh, my God.
You snorted your friend's ashes.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was like my blood brother. I'm sorry.
Wow. Couple of questions here. Okay. Number one, did you mix it with cocaine or something when you were snorting? You didn't.
No, just straight.
Oh my God! Okay, so it was uncut, It was Joe uncut.
Yeah, pure Joe.
Pure Joe.
It was
pure
uncut Joe. With the little. It was cut with the little Peter.
And did you just do a bump or a line or?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it wasn't nothing major, but it was.
May I jump in with a quick question here? So
it was
so
a gag or something like that.
Was it a fine powder? Because I have my mother's ashes, and there's bit of
brown like particulate
matter
yeah.
in it. Yeah.
This was like 9 years. I think it was. I mean, I was chugging beers when I did it. It was just.
All right.
Oh my. Yeah.
Did you actually take?
I'm 3.5 years clean now, so.
All right, well, good. Did you actually take a razor blade and chop it up a little bit, or?
No, I used my license.
It's license.
That's outrageous. You made good on it.
You did. You honored his memory. Good for you that you're clean and keep going. Yeah. That's awesome.
Were you alone, or were other people with you when you did this?
Well, there were people there, but I kind of just snuck off and did it. It was like just a thing in my head, you know what I mean?
Wow. You know, when you do, in your mind too, and obviously you knew you were effed up at that point. But I mean, still, you make a pact, and I remember my friend and I made it. I wasn't drunk. I don't drink. He was at the same thing. We were both seeing this very profound thing, saying, "Man, if I ever get that bad, I need you to come and take me out." And I think you'd want to honor that, you know?
I mean, going along with it, you know, doing something with the ashes of the deceased, you know, my buddy's aunt, you know, like each family member had some of the ashes. And so her wish was to be spread into the ocean. But she specifically requested that as the ashes were being spread, the song Bitches Back was playing.
From Elton John?
From Elton John. And my buddy was like, I'm not going to do that. I'm like, dude, this is what she asked. This is what she wanted.
You've got to honor it.
I know it sounds silly, but it's not your call.
He wanted,
you know?
We've Got
yeah.
Tonight.
Yeah, so I made him download the song.
We've Got Tonight?
Yeah. So did he do it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, good. Yeah.
That's... You've got to. Yeah. It's the request.
Yeah. My question to that one guy, though, is do you think your buddy would have snorted you?
Yeah, that is a very good question, Case. And I wish I'd let him go, but
you can't enter into that thinking that way. You've got to you made the declaration. Like in this case, obviously, money is a more it's a more wonderful thing. A lot of these things, these are end of life situations. But I wonder in the long term how many people, and you've had stories in the Bizarre File about people who balked at those promises.
Yeah, yeah, it's happened. Yeah. Let me go to Mike. Mike, you're on the air. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, guys. Welcome, welcome. How are you?
Good.
Wonderful. Thank you for welcoming us. What's your packed story, sir?
Oh, my God. So I moved here to the Philadelphia area from Louisiana in 2003, and my best friend, Tiger, said to me, you can't have a Philly cheesesteak till I come to visit you. Okay. Not a real Philly cheesesteak.
Yeah.
I have yet to have one.
How long have you lived here?
One yet.
How long have you lived here, Mike?
Since 2003.
Dude,
oh, come on.
Dude, your friend Tiger sucks.
Then your friend needs to come here.
I know, right?
Well, God bless you for honoring that. That he needs to understand, though. Tiger's dropping the ball on this one.
Mike.
Yeah, yeah.
You have his phone number?
I do.
Hang on a second. Yeah. Marissa's going to get it from you. We're calling him right now. Hang on.
This is bold.
Marissa, get his phone number. We're getting Tiger on the line right now because this is...
Oh. Either he comes...
How can he have lived here this long? Yeah.
That's
wrong.
Two things.
Either he makes good and arranges a trip, A, or B, he gives him special dispensation.
Right.
So that he can enjoy it.
But also, you have to let your buddy Tiger know that he's going to be getting a phone call from a number he doesn't know.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody answers the phone anymore.
Marissa. Tell Mike to text him real quick. Okay, thank you. All right.
No, at this point, he's waited this long. The guy can't say, no, go ahead, have one. He's got to come here.
All right,
I agree. You know what I mean?
I almost want to fund his trip here.
I totally want to fund his trip here.
And
get this guy here.
I want to break up this friendship.
I mean, listen.
I think it's cruel.
I think we need a cheesesteak. We need to make that happen.
All right, funding his trip. By the way, I mean, like, he could probably fly here for $70 right now. You know, airline
Great.
Tickets.
I'll pay $70 to get him here.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's wrong. That's wrong on many levels.
I mean, since,
poor man,
since
Mike.
2003.
Yeah.
And you're living, and the food most associated with your new adopted home has not crossed over your lips. It's
how many times has he walked by an establishment and smelled that wonderful aroma coming out the front door?
I mean, at this point, the dude's like from Philly. Like, you've been here that many years, you say, oh, no, I'm from Philly.
Come on, man. let me go to Justin next. Hey, Justin, good morning.
Hey, everybody. It's good to have you on the never mind. I'm tired.
oh, my God.
It's tough. It's
Baba tutaba tabuba badoo gaga bop it up.
There we go.
Thank you. All right. What's up, Justin?
So me and my best friend, back when we were like 16 or 17, like made a pact. We were having a bit of a tough time in life being, you know, getting into our later teenage years. And we made a pact for something to look forward to, that we'd be each other's best man in each other's wedding when we, you know, when we eventually got married.
Yeah.
I think just 12 years later, I got married at 28 and he was my best man.
Okay.
He's not married yet, but it's still, you know, still hoping that that pact comes
through. Do you think
he is best man?
I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, no.
Justin, have you gone on to make better friends since then, if you know what I mean? People that you're a little bit closer to than him.
No, I mean, he's still like, I'm a bad friend. I'll just start with by that. You know, I get very occupied with work and everything going on in life, so I don't call as much as I should. But I still consider him. You know, he's my brother. I grew up with him, and like he'd always be the first person I like if I need help with something, or I'll call him up.
But he sounds like a good friend. Could you perhaps work out a deal where he could rescind that offer if you allowed him to have a cheesesteak? Would that work? This way, you get out of it. Because, I mean, I mean, if he's not getting married, I mean, do you think, will you follow through completely? I mean, you know, wherever he is, you'll go and you'll return.
Oh, absolutely.
All right.
I'll drop whatever I'm doing.
That's all that matters.
Destination wedding.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. Thank you, Justin. I appreciate it. Because I had my best man at my wedding, a buddy named Ben, is not my, what I would call my number one right now. We're still great friends.
I mean, you constantly, I hear you talk about him in such a bad way.
I know, I just beat up on him all the time. But at the time, you know, my buddy Steve is a closer friend.
Right.
We've had a tighter relationship. But Ben and I kind of made this agreement a long time before.
Oh, really?
that we would be each other's best man. We were the closest of friends at one point in high school.
Was that problematic when you actually had to make the request?
No,
Steve understood.
Yep.
So a good friend would understand that.
Yeah.
But it could cause an issue. My best man was my dad. Yeah. And though I had asked ahead of that, Rockstar Rob.
She said no.
And it got weird.
I guess so. Yeah.
It's still weird.
It's still weird.
A little sensitive.
No.
By the way, here's a text. It says, I made a pact with my high school girlfriend that if we were still single by the time we are 27, we will get married. I am 22 right now.
Okay. 27 is a little
young.
Yeah.
Yeah, 27. I'll be in a retirement home.
You might want to like put an addendum to that pact.
That
hey,
age.
All right, 27 is a little. You know, it's only 5 years away. By the way, I just priced out flights. You can fly round trip from New Orleans to Philadelphia on next Tuesday and go home Wednesday. Round trip, $75.
Oh,
we could do that.
We can do that, no problem. Okay, they're on the line.
Oh,
I got Mike. Mikey, there.
I'm here, sir.
Apparently, we have contacted Tiger. Marissa got him on the line. I'm going to conference him in right now, okay?
Oh, dear Lord. Okay.
All right. Let me get... Hey, is this Tiger?
Good morning.
Hey.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Hey, good, Tiger. How are you, man?
Well, I'm good now.
Well, you're on the radio in Philadelphia. We're the Preston and Steve radio show, and we were having a discussion with people who have made a pact with others in their life. And it keyed off a story of a guy who won the lottery. And about 30 years ago, he and a friend had agreed if either one of them won the lottery, they were going to split the money. And they did it. And we were amazed. So we were taking calls from people who have made pacts in their lives. And Mike called in. And Mike, who's on the line right now, had said that he made a pact with you. Mike, and where did you and Tiger live? What city did you live together in?
We were in Shreveport, Bossier City in Louisiana there.
In Louisiana. Right. And how long have you guys been friends?
Oh, gosh. What, 1994.
1994. Okay. And Tiger, he said you guys made an agreement that Mike would not have a cheesesteak until you came to visit him. And, Mike, how long have you lived in Philadelphia?
since 2003, but I've lived away from Louisiana since 97.
Okay.
But I moved here in 2003.
Since 2003. So it's been a long time, Tiger. Why haven't you come to visit Mike?
Oh, man. You know what, guys? The economy is so bad here in Louisiana. And I told him the adventure. I'm trying to leave Louisiana. Let me put it to you like that.
Okay.
I'm trying to leave Louisiana.
Okay. Okay. All right. I got you.
I mean, look. I would leave Louisiana for a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
I hear you. We may have a solution, right, Preston?
Yep. Tiger, what if we bought you a round-trip ticket to Philadelphia? Because this is a crime in our minds. This is a crime. That Mike has been here since 2003, and he has never had a cheesesteak. We'll even pay for the cheesesteaks.
Yeah. Whoa.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that's 17, wow. That's 17 years, is it not?
Yeah.
Yes, the flight and cheesesteaks.
This is a crime. As Kathy was saying, Mike is now from Philadelphia. Yeah. He's been here long enough, and he's never had a cheesesteak. Now, I do have a question. Is Louisiana one of the states that you have to quarantine?
I think on cheesesteak-related items, you don't have to quarantine.
Okay.
Oh, all right.
Well, we're Texas. We're 3 hours from Dallas, and we're trying to keep my sister, my niece and nephew, from coming to visit my parents. You know, and it's just one of those things. We're trying to get them to stay home. You know,
there's a point at which you put too much value on life,
right?
And I think you've exceeded that now. You don't know how good these sandwiches are.
Yeah, I mean, look, trust me, guys. I look at them on Food Channel or YouTube, and I'm like, I know I have to get up there, and I know that my friends...
Oh, wait a second. Yeah, you know, Tiger, you're looking at them on TV. Mike's looking at them, like, through the restaurant window or sitting in the restaurant, and the people at the next table are eating it.
The person across from them.
Has had one, but I have not.
Okay. Is there a way we could get him here, like a la a nursing home, and have him on the other side of a protective, or in like a hazmat thing, or one of those mobile, and just have him so that when you go to visit Gum Gum on her birthday, you know, so he's eating a cheesesteak, and they're both in the same geographical area, safely eating a cheesesteak.
Technically, Tiger would only have to touch down on the runway to cover the agreement that Tiger just has to come to Philadelphia for Mike to have a goddamn cheesesteak.
Would airspace even?
Mm-hmm. I can wave at him in the plane. Hi, Tiger.
You could do that.
But you know what? I did say to him, I said, why don't we split one? You buy one and send my half, you know, next day FedEx.
I told him it's not the same. It's got to be here.
Yeah, you're right.
To get the sights and sounds of a hermetically sealed tube.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, you've known Tiger a long time. How many cheesesteaks do you think he could eat in one sitting?
Oh, gosh. Back when we were in college, maybe two or three.
Okay. Because you could do
now,
a whole tour.
We're being good. Yeah, we're doing good. You know, maybe two, I'm guessing. Tiger, you tell me. I don't know.
It depends on how big it is, really.
By the way, I just priced out flights from Shreveport. Those are a little more expensive.
How
those
much?
Are $1,000 from Shreveport. Right. So he would have to drive.
You're
going
to do a little driving.
$1,000?
Yeah. From 70 to 1,000?
Yeah.
Okay.
Shreveport's a little bit more expensive to fly out.
How far is Shreveport from?
About a 4-hour drive.
Okay, you can do that. Yeah.
Wow.
It's for a sandwich, for crying out loud.
Yeah. All we're asking you to do is send your life into complete upheaval.
Tiger. Tiger, what do you do for work?
I'm a forklift driver.
A forklift driver. All right. Do you work on weekends?
No, sir.
Okay. Maybe we can get him up on a weekend.
Can your average forklift make it here to Philadelphia?
Yeah. That's going to take a little longer.
Well, that's a movie. You know, the guy that drove a forklift to Philly for a cheesesteak.
Forked.
He got forked.
Well, listen, I want to make this happen.
Has to happen in one way or another, and I think what we need to do is employ... Governor Wolf.
Maybe he can help.
He seems to not be dealing with too much right now.
Right. We got a crisis here.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen. We're gonna do some digging on details and see what we can work out. And we've got to document this whole thing.
We need community. Yeah. We need all names, numbers, and reaching and all that stuff so we can make sure we can continue this. All right. Are you guys at least up for some sort of fix that makes this work?
Oh yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
All right. All right, good, because this will be an adventure for Tiger, and it'll be a long overdue sensation for Mike. So
you know, there's a Geno's in the Philly airport.
There is. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
You could do that.
We'd have to get. All right. We'll work on it.
Listen, we had. You can't believe the resource that this show has. It took us only 8 months to get our Dunkachino machine fixed.
That's right.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
All right. Hey, Tiger and Mike, good talking to you. I'm going to put you guys on hold, okay?
Okay.
All right. Have a good weekend.
I mean, since 2003, as Kathy points out.
That's an abomination.
I'll say that that Mike has probably had, like, more Bernays here than he's had.
Yeah.
I mean, he's had more regional Louisiana food here.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Probably, you know. Oh, man. Okay. All right. Well, we're going to work on that. We are definitely going to work on that. Let me go to a couple more calls, and we got to take a break. I have Shelly on the line. Hey, Shelly.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning. So we were talking about making a pact with somebody, keeping that pact. Yeah. What's yours?
Yeah. So I was a sophomore in high school, and I was dating a senior. And it was in the spring, and he informed me that a couple years prior, he had made a pact with his best friend that he would take her to prom. There were no, you know, limits or anything on it. He
right.
Take her to prom. So prom came around and I got left home.
What?
Then he graduated and joined the Army, but promised me that he would come back for my prom because we were still dating at the time.
Okay.
And he did not do that either.
Oh,
you made a pact with a douchebag.
Yeah.
Oh,
and that
sorry.
Man was Jeffrey Epstein. No, so how? So where are we now with this?
We're very good friends, actually.
He still owes you a prom.
Yeah.
He does owe me a dance.
Shelly, did you go to prom or no?
Not as a sophomore, no.
No, but I meant as a senior, even though your boyfriend didn't come down. Okay, so you did. All right.
Oh,
at least you got to go to prom.
I took a friend.
Okay.
Yeah.
With her cousin.
We had a good time.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Shelly. Yeah, sometimes they don't stand to the promise.
Like you made a, remember that promise you made to the listener? $5,000 if we could figure out who the first guest in the studio was.
I went and bought a Visa gift card yesterday.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Look at you.
He got in touch right after the show.
And he's very insistent.
He wants his, and I'm not going to welch on it.
$1,000, $2,000,
$3,000.
No, it's $130.
Oh, $130. Yeah, so 30's for the case of beer.
You're a good man.
A nice case of beer.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Am I in the clear now?
I should have given you 10 Bristol. Bucks. Go get your nap.
You saved $4,850.
All right, now here's one with a more serious tone to it. I'm going to go to Sandy. Hi, Sandy.
Sandy!
Hi, guys. Good morning, Preston, Steve. I had a cousin many years ago that got caught in a rib current, and he drowned.
Okay.
As a family, we made a pact that every child born would learn how to swim, and every one of our kids know how to swim.
Very good.
That's so good, because we were just talking about, we had some family members over, and it's actually, I guess, my niece at this point. I'm trying to figure out. Anyway, she's just a 2 years old, and she's a dynamo in the pool. And that stuff is so important. So, good. Carry on that pact. That's a good thing.
Yeah, it's a good way to honor that person who passed as well.
Oh, my God. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Sandy.
Thank you.
All right. We'll see you later. All right. Interesting. I thought that this guy went above and beyond. I don't know how close they still were, but $22 million, and he's making good on sharing.
He's still getting $11 million.
Oh, yeah. You
know, I mean, that's still generous to honor. There is something to be said for your word.
Yes.
And the honor and that you carry through on your word. These are attributes that are waning in this world. And for when people stick up to it and abide by their word, it means a lot.
Absolutely. And we've made agreements like this on air concerning.
You owe us $11 million.
Lottery before.
Yeah. Well, listen, if I win, especially the Powerball, where there's multiple millions of dollars, like, yes, every single person that I know and have a what I would consider to be a relationship with, you know, not a Facebook friend.
I don't think I've ever entered into one of those things with you guys, right? I just think I'm bad luck.
Oh, no. When we chip in?
Yeah. Well, you're taken care of, as far as I'm concerned. You're taken care of.
But. Yeah. How about Rockstar Rob?
Rockstar.
My best man.
That's why I bring it up.
Maybe I'll buy him, like, his favorite comic book.
Okay. All right.
Here's a new jacket.
A new jacket.
A new jacket. All right, we are going to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment. I got some bizarre file stories I think you're going to dig. Don't forget our friend Bert Kreischer on the show around 9 a.m. and tickets for his show and these other live-in, drive-in shows at Citizens Bank Park go on sale today at 10 a.m. We'll be back in a moment.
AC/DC vocalist Bon Scott dies at 33, throwing the band's future into uncertainty. But just 5 months later, on July 25th, in rock's most amazing comeback, AC/DC releases Back in Black. All weekend, 93.3 WMMR celebrates the 40th anniversary of the seventh best-selling album of all time. It's an MM Artist Weekend with AC/DC. All the tracks from Back in Black. Plus, every fan favorite from the Bon Scott and Brian Johnson eras.
We'll also pull out some killer live AC/DC material for this week's Saturday Night Concert Series, starting Saturday at 7.
AC/DC, this weekend's featured MM artist from the station that's been playing them since day one. 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
The button on the fader that I hit here to start the bizarre file is lit up. It's like stuck. So I don't know if this will work or not, but I'm going to try it. Here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Now.
Bizarre.
WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Robbins Diamonds in Tax-Free Delaware with thousands of rings and self-serve cases and absolutely no sales tax versus the 8% tax in Philly. Robbins Delaware Diamonds. Well, a man waiting in an alley for sex with an escort that he met online was instead beaten and robbed. And it's interesting why. The woman, Dallas Waz, and a guy named Jacob Light were arrested and each were charged in Wednesday morning's incident with aggravated battery causing bodily harm and robbery. The beating came after deputies said the victim showed up with only
$5. $5?
Yes.
That's just disgusting.
Yes. The beating left Joshua Job, 20 years old, with a fractured nose and cuts and bruises on his face and head. His cheek required stitches.
You don't even get it touched for $5.
And according to documents, a bleeding Job flagged down a deputy on patrol around 5 a.m. on Wednesday near the Burger King and reported that he had been attacked and robbed. In an interview with sheriff's detectives from the hospital bed, Job said that he met Waz 2 months ago on a social media site called Escort Fish.
Cheap Escort Fish.
And had sex with her twice in June and paid her $95 each time they had sex. Well, on Wednesday, Job sent text messages to Waz to set up another meeting. Waz showed up, but got upset when Job told her he only had $5 this time.
You can't do that.
She yelled at Job for wasting her time.
Was there some sort of card that you punch each time you had sex for a discount?
And told him to get out of her truck and drove off. Job texted her to come back. She did, but this time she wasn't by herself. Waz returned, and as she pulled over, Light jumped out of the back of the truck and began beating Job until he blacked out. When Job woke up, he realized that his two cell phones were missing. Waz and Light also stole Job's $5. Job told deputies Waz lived in
Deland. He could have bought a foot long.
Drove her mother's truck and that she had a tattoo of flowers on her lower back, which deputies later said was only visible if Waz's clothes were removed. Mm-hmm. Waz and Light were found and they said they did not know him and denied being near the scene of the attack, but they were arrested and charged.
Were their prices easily displayed and readable?
That I don't know. All right, we just had a lottery story a moment ago. Here's another one. A Jamaican lottery winner claimed his $95 million prize on Monday dressed as Darth Vader in an attempt to hide his identity while accepting the check. The guy identified himself as W. Brown, and he had said, "Life has always been very rough," he told the Jamaican Gleaner.
Life has always been very rough.
He said, "I come from a poor family. Sometimes I couldn't attend school because my parents didn't have money.
I read."
But he said, "I told myself that God will help me one day so I can help my family." He said he purchased the same set of numbers with a few replacements over the past 20 years. The numbers were 8, 9, 10, 19, 27, and 30. And he said, "I wrote down the numbers and saw that I won. And I was excited and I had a shower and went to sleep.
And now we shall cross the rebellion.
So he was hiding his identity. So he
The Darth Vader costume, I think, is the way to go.
Absolutely. A man recently had quite the laugh after a delivery service left him a note saying that they left his package in a safe location, and he found the large package under his doormat. But the way it was, I mean, it's huge, and they just set the doormat on top of the box.
To hide it.
Is what they
to
did.
To obscure it, yeah.
Yeah. He posted about the whole thing on TikTok. In the clip, the man can be seen reading the form from the delivery service Yodel, which shows the delivery had been left in a safe location. He then opens his front door and shows the gigantic package with the doormat draped over the top of it. And he's gotten over 142,000 likes and hundreds of comments.
There's a case at my house where there's a door off to the side that goes to the basement.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they will think that's the door to the house.
Oh.
But now they do this thing where they take a picture of where they put the package.
Right.
If they're a little leery, and that's helped. But, yeah, it's they kind of have to, you know, make sure it's a little more obscure than
you
that.
You can leave a note on that door, you know, just saying this isn't the place.
It's happened just a couple times, yeah. And then you I go online and let them know.
All right, here's your mask hole story of the day. In El Paso, Dapper Donuts. They said customers retaliated after they were asked to put their face masks on inside the building.
Dapper Donuts.
In surveillance footage, a couple appears to be arguing with the staff in the city of El Paso. They had mandated face coverings. Lauren Keener, supervisor at Dapper Donuts, said that she asked a couple who was waiting for their order to put their face masks on or they could wait outside. She said, I handed her her donuts. And she got very confrontational with me and told me that you can't speak to your customers like this, and then proceeded to throw the donut box at me. The confrontation caught on surveillance video where a woman can be seen throwing the box over the plexiglass towards the employee. You can see it. Management said that the couple then demanded a refund. And she said, when I told him that he couldn't have a refund, he got angry and he grabbed a mug and asked how much it was. And when I told him how much, he took it as payment.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
So Keener said that since the city mandated face masks, they've struggled with patrons ignoring the rule. But despite a near box to the face, Keener said she will continue enforcing the rule at Dapper Donuts.
But they had their donuts, right?
No, they threw them
right
at the person. So, right, and
they threw them back at the cashier.
Yeah, but if they fell out and they, you know, and they, you don't get a refund. After
you don't get
that.
A refund.
No way.
No There's way. No crying at Dapper Donuts.
No way. Seahorses. You're right. Let's see. We have time for one last
story. Forever.
Forever.
Dapper Donuts.
A massive cache of stolen catalytic converters was uncovered in Elk Grove recently.
It really is a thing.
Yeah, the sheriff's office announced the bust, saying that deputies had executed a search warrant in connection to the theft and sales of catalytic converters in a business area and uncovered the cache. They found about 2,000 catalytic converters.
So what's the company that we were talking about that...
And they recovered them. Nick's Roast Beef had gotten their catalytic converter stolen.
And
was it Armor Metal?
No, it was that Meineke in the Northeast.
Meineke, yes. That was it, yep. So about $300,000 in cash was also seized.
Oh, my God.
In the last 2 years, the department has seen an increase in the stolen catalytic converters. And I believe we had said because it has platinum in it.
I think that's
right.
It.
Yeah. And that's what I have in the bizarre file for you this morning.
As far as catalytic converters are concerned, remember back in the day, 80s and 90s or whatever, mm-hmm. every now and again, your car would smell like farts.
Yes, because of the sulfur.
All right. And so does the catalytic converter have anything to do with that? Or
yes.
Okay. All right.
It used to. I don't know if the newer catalytic converters have that issue. But that was always, it was a quick blame, by the way, if you did fart in the car.
Do you want to know what it is? Exactly.
Yeah.
It is an exhaust emission control device that reduces toxic gases and pollutants in exhaust gas from an internal combustion engine into less toxic pollutants by catalyzing a redox reaction, which is an oxidation and a reduction reaction.
That's what I thought.
They're usually used with internal combustion engines fueled by either gasoline or diesel, including lean burn engines as well as kerosene heaters and stoves. Okay, there you go. Now you learn stuff on the Preston and Steve Show. All right, with that, we are taking a break, dear friends. Casey.
Yeah, you know what?
Give me one of those drive-ins to give away. Yes, we have a night at the drive-in for caller number 16 at 215-263-WMMR. It's next Wednesday at Shankweiler's Drive-In in Orfield, which is near Allentown. And they're going to be showing two movies, Hook and Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. It starts at 8:50, and four people can pile into your car. You get a reserved spot, and it's courtesy of Amazon Studios and Michael B. Jordan's Outlier Society. They're presenting A Night at the Drive-In. So caller 16 will set you up, 215-263-WMMR. Remember, if you don't win, visit anightatthedrivein.com to get first-come, first-served passes. We'll be back in just a moment.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on the MMR mobile app.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I want to point out we have a new Daily Rush video for your consumption. It's called Casey's Nick Sound, and the description says Casey can't drink water and it causes him to make Nick sounds. So if you would like to watch that and hear that, you can do it at PrestonandSteve.com, and it's sponsored by Punchline, Philly, Fishtown's first comedy club, restaurant, and bar. So that is available. All right, today, Phil's back in action.
Yeah.
Actual baseball. Opening day was yesterday for this season, if you want to call it that. Anybody watch any of it?
I watched some of it, yeah. It's interesting to see. I think they did a really good job given the constraints. And there were two games last night. The Yankees played the Nats, and then out west, the Dodgers played the Giants.
How did it feel with no crowd there, with no crowd sounds? How did they present it? Did they use filler music or anything like that?
I think it felt great because it's live sports. And you are so used to the last 3 or 4 months of no live sports. And so next week we're getting NBA and NHL back, and then presumably the NFL shortly thereafter.
They were using fill sounds, right?
They were.
Which seemed to work okay.
Okay. I find them distracting. Here's my take on it. It's just my take. But we know that it's an empty stadium. We know that nobody's in attendance, so you don't have to pretend that there are people in attendance. And I find the pretending a little bit odd. I'd rather just acknowledge the fact that nobody's there, and we know why nobody's there.
That's kind of the way, now I didn't watch myself, but that's kind of the way I predicted myself, you know, feeling, hearing stuff like that. It's like old TV shows that have a fake laugh track.
Yeah. Right.
Since we've gotten to live studio audiences, when they do have studio audiences and you hear those laugh tracks, it sounds I think it's distracting.
There was an NBA there was an NBA scrimmage the other night. Okay. there was an NBA scrimmage the other night, and it was the Bucks versus the Nuggets, and the Nuggets were the quote unquote home team, and they were pumping in fake audience sounds of "Let's go Nuggets." And it was really annoying and distracting.
Who are they doing that for?
I guess for the people at home. But
so they're not pumping that into the stadium. They're pumping it just into the homes.
But here's the thing: nobody's responding to the call. It's "Let's go Nuggets," and then nothing, because nobody's there.
Yeah. But wait, hold on. The players.
Yeah, question. Do you know if was it going through the PA system in the actual arena?
I don't know. I'm obviously not there, so all I could hear was what I was at home. But
I'm thinking a lot of it is probably just for the home benefit. I think the teams are so used. They're probably playing it as, to them, it has probably a hybrid feel between a game and a practice.
Yeah.
So that you have that sort of dynamic. I tend to sort of think the way both you guys are saying with, we know it's not the real deal.
Yeah.
It is a real game. It's just not the game the way we know it. And I found, looking at just the footage that I saw of the cardboard cutouts, I found it distracting because I actually never pay attention, rarely, to the people, unless there's a foul ball or something, to the audience. to the spectators, yeah. And I found myself looking, and maybe that'll wear off after time with the cardboard cutouts, but it was a little weird.
I think that the players don't give a crap whether or not anybody's in the audience or not, and I think that they have to pretend that they do. I think that they say that they're playing for the fans, but right. For the most part, they're out there to compete against one another. I think they take their profession really seriously. They're, you know, the top of their game, but for them, one way or the other, it might be a little weird not hearing the sounds, not feeling the ambiance, but as far as their performance goes, yeah. I don't think it makes one difference at all whether or not anybody's actually there.
Do you think it might actually help?
Maybe. But I just I feel like players get so zoned in. Professional athletes are aware that there are people in attendance, but they're not there for the fans. The fans are there for the players. I don't think it's a symbiotic relationship.
It's like when we do this show, we're so focused. Yeah. And so razor focused. That's why you never hear any mistakes or anything.
Yeah. What?
What were you saying? What did you say?
I prefer the sounds of the game anyway. And the great thing about going to a live baseball game is you, especially when you're closer to the field, you hear all of that stuff. The ball hitting the glove, you know, the crack of the bat. I love that sound anyway. So if you're going to, you know, muffle that sound by giving me fake stuff, I don't want to hear it.
Right.
Yeah. And we were talking, I guess when we were talking to JVR, like the sounds of the skates on the ice and the puck hitting and the stick and stuff like that. That's great. Yep. Now the sounds of the sneakers on the basketball court, that could get a little grating after a while.
For you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
like that.
You do like that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it sounds awesome. So,
does it have an ASMR value to it for
a little
you?
Bit? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, most definitely. I could just listen to that.
I don't know. So I'll find out in a week or so whether or not I feel that way.
I think there might be an element to what, you know, obviously the lacrosse, the Wings, what they do with the pumping and a little bit of music. I if a soundtrack would be distracting, some sort of, you know, music where you don't focus in on it, but it propels things a little bit. Yeah. I can see that being okay. This has been the discussion that's been going on for a while now.
Right.
Now you get to see it in practice and people are getting to assess whether or not they really like what they're seeing and hearing.
What I look forward to is maybe hearing a little bit more of the jawing in between the players. I don't necessarily know how much jawing there goes on during baseball, but during basketball.
More cursing.
During basketball.
They had to add there's going to be a delay.
There has to be. Yeah. Because you hear, like, when somebody gets fouled hard, you'll hear that,
Added like 5 or 10 seconds more of a delay because there's not going to be any ambient sound to drown out the FU Casey thing.
I guess most of the jawing probably takes place at home plate between the catcher and the batter.
Well, that's what it seems like in the movies, and I love that.
There's a little bit of that I hear that does go on.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, but.
Who was it?
Crash?
No. I'm trying. Well, Crash is one, but I was thinking either John Candy in Brewster's Millions.
Oh, yeah.
Or Tom Berenger in Major League. Just the jawing is really, really great. But when he says something about the dude's wife and he ends up popping out, and then the next guy comes out and he's like, "Yeah, did you hear what I said about so and so's wife?" And then the batter goes, "Yeah, she's an ugly bitch," and then smashes a home run. What was that? Was that Brewster's Millions
remember.
I want to say that's Brewster's Millions.
I don't remember that one. Well, So the game gets underway today for the Phils, first game of the season.
Yeah, 7 p.m. tonight, Aaron Nola pitching, and it's a sprint. It's 60 games, and then we've gone from zero sports to all sports, all four majors, and then soccer and NASCAR and PGA and everything else. So it's going to be like a sprint over the next 2 months plus, I guess.
I think I saw a quick blurb with Jake Arrieta, reporter was asking, about the season, and he's just like, "Look, we don't know. We have no idea until we get out there."
Right.
So,
and that's how it's going to be for everything. It's always it's going to be a lot of pivoting. It's going to be a lot of go with the flow and see what happens next.
Hey, so there are some changes. Pitchers aren't allowed to lick their fingers and stuff like that.
They're allowed to lick other players' fingers.
That's weird.
Yeah.
But
spitting.
There no spitting?
Right, yeah.
All right, so no spitting, but they have a wet bag that the pitchers can...
Yeah.
Okay.
My bag's wet right now. I'm sorry.
It's a little moist.
A wet bag?
They're allowed to... So in order to get a better grip, pitchers will lick their fingers.
Yes.
And so they're not allowed to do that this year because of the potential spread. So they're literally given a bag that they can carry in their back pocket to moisten their fingers before grabbing the ball.
They should have a little table with what sometimes you see cashiers use, a little sponge on there, and they just kind of dip their fingers.
Yeah. Right there, right next to the pitching mound.
Yeah,
or like palm olive.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So you're soaking in it.
And there's another new interesting change, and I don't know if it'll last beyond this season, but an actual rule change where if a game goes extra innings, if it goes in the 10th inning, the both teams will start that inning with a runner on second base. So the
What is the
intent? Is to speed up the game, is to not have it go 19 innings because runs will be scored in theory more quickly.
And is this a COVID rule?
Yeah.
Or
because they just don't, they're trying to limit the amount of people that are out there for longer periods of time. It's an attempt to
expedite things. Why don't they have then at the start, after that point, just start each inning with a player on third running towards home?
I mean, it kind of seems
like not fair. I don't think I like that.
I would like it better if they didn't start with anybody on base, but they just gave the batter the ball and he's allowed to throw it up and hit it himself.
Right, yeah. Okay.
I think that
limits exposure. I think so.
And all National League teams will have a designated hitter this year too. So
there should be designated catchers, like in the outfield. The ball comes out to the outfielder. One person catches it, sanitizes the ball, and then hands it to the center fielder or the right fielder.
Is the designated hitter thing going to be from now on?
A lot of people think it's going to go on beyond this year. So
it should have been done a long time ago.
Yeah. Nick, what do you think of the prospects of having Dr. Fauci as a designated pitcher?
Yeah, oh my God. He should be in everyone's bullpen.
Wow.
Hey, real quick, when it comes to that runner that starts on second base, Nick, is it whoever was last at bat?
So if you're the visiting team, it's just to start the 10th inning.
No, I know that. But whoever runs, is it? All right. So, you know, batter, you know,
fifth, I don't know,
fifth slots up to bat. Does that mean batter?
It probably
four?
Means that the manager can select a pinch runner.
I think that would make the most sense. Yeah. Right. You'd give them that option the way you would. That gives them a little bit more control of something it seems sort of arbitrary.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the problem here is, like, you know, what if you're, you know, fastest runner is next up to bat, you know? So normally you would want to put your fastest guy on second base. So, you know, I don't know.
I think it'll be I think it'd be a pinch runner. It would seem to, I don't know that for sure, but that's what my guess is. But I'm a baseball fan. I like the short season. It's, you know, you're not really worrying or paying attention to games unless you're diehard in April and May. And now every game matters, and the differences between one or two wins or losses will mean playoffs.
I'm a casual viewer, a handful of games for the season, but when the playoffs come, that's when I pay attention. It's just kind of my relationship to baseball.
You start looking at the standings in August and September, and here we are almost in August.
So baseball would take the biggest hit with me, because to me, I'm only really interested if I can go to the park and see it.
Or if the Phils are in the playoffs or whatever.
Hockey is my favorite sport to watch in person, but yet on television I enjoy it as well. So we'll see how. I think it's funny. Again, there have been a tremendous amount of, obviously, a plethora of negatives associated with all this, but there may be some takeaways, like a truncated or reduced season, that might make sports better in some aspects after this.
My dad and I are upholding our annual opening day tradition and watching the game together.
Oh, that's nice.
But we're looking for a good socially distant, safe place to watch it, because I don't want to go to their place and I don't want them to come to my place and we'll sit inside. So if anybody has recommendations, shoot me an email.
Wait a minute, you don't want to go to each other's houses?
I mean, I've seen my parents like outside, but I don't want to sit in the house like on the couch.
What's the larynx
around doing like crazy? I mean,
well, if it's raining, I don't know. Okay. I don't know. I mean, do I always have to spend time with my boyfriend?
Do you go visit your parents at all, or no? Or is it something
we've seen each other out? Like we've met at a place or something.
Can they drag a TV outside? Set it up outside. Do you have a little spot to sit outside?
That's not her thing. She wants to go somewhere.
She wants to be able to go get rid.
Someone to give me a drink.
Yeah.
And while I can order food, because I have to, because that's a rule now.
Yes, you have to get food. You'll have to get lunch or dinner, and then you can get your drink.
And as soon as you're done eating, you can't
just go to a bar and get a drink. You have to order food.
Okay.
Yeah, like every place that is serving drinks, you have to buy food too.
Yes.
Required.
Did you see the deal in New York where I guess it was Cuomo said you can't, like, chicken fingers don't qualify as food. You have to order a sandwich.
There's a whole thing.
Oh,
they're defining what a meal is. It's got to be substantial. You can't just order fries and drink.
What about chunky soup? It eats like a meal.
I know.
It says it.
At that point.
He uses spoon.
Yeah. And I've made a meal out of chicken fingers. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's totally a meal.
Or like a hummus plate or a cheese plate. That's a meal.
I used to have at the Ugly Moose, I used to have chicken fingers and chili.
Ugly Moose closed.
Well, maybe they have to make it entree size. You know what I mean?
Give me extra fingers.
You got to be committed to it. So
Watching sports is a real communal thing, and so to Marissa's point, I'll be very interested to see, you know, if the Flyers and or Sixers have runs in the playoffs. They're both kind of set up to do well in the playoffs. If people want to get together and watch games, and I mean they will, they'll want to get together to watch games, how they're going to do it, and will there be watch parties? Because you're not, nobody's going to any of the games, right? You're not going to be able to see any of these games in actual attendance, but people are going to want to cheer with other Sixers fans or Flyers fans, or when the season starts for the Eagles, how are they going to watch Eagles games?
Yeah, for the record, Kathy, it's not just me, it's also my dad. That's where I
get
it from.
Yeah, of course, I'm sure.
What about the possibility, and perhaps it's a service that we can offer, where because you send over someone in a hazmat suit, if you are really physical fan, that allows you to brawl with another fan.
Right. Mm. Yeah.
So they'll come to your house,
yeah,
and you get to brawl with them, and they're in some sort of protective suit that allows you that thrill of that confrontation. I mean, it's part of the experience, correct?
I guess so. Hey, Nick, just to clarify, whoever's at bat and to start that extra inning, the batter that was that preceded them in the order,
oh, okay,
is who starts on second base. Okay. Now you can switch that person out of the lineup.
Gotcha.
But whoever would take that person's spot in the lineup would be on second base.
Well. Okay, that's cool. Yeah, mm-hmm. And you know, the playoffs are set to be like they've, you know, the baseball players have been. They were going to change the baseball playoff rules this year, but I think they're sticking with the rules that they had last year. They were going to expand the playoffs, but I don't believe they're doing that. But the Sixers and the Flyers both have very expanded fields, you know, so the playoffs and the hockey are traditionally 16 teams total, and now they're going to be 24, same for the NBA.
Right. All right, well, it's starting to happen,
yeah,
which is pretty cool. So.
I mean, we've been reporting on the lack of sports for the last 3 or 4 months, and now we'll actually be reporting on games that have happened the night before.
Do you know what's impressive? The way that the basketball players have managed to keep celibate.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that they are being so sex-free, it's just astonishing in their staying in their bubble. But we'll see how it all plays out.
Why, have there been reports that they're messing around? I don't know. I don't follow.
Yeah,
so there's been a lot?
There's been a few, yeah. Okay. In fact, a couple of Instagram models have been solicited.
Yeah. It's crazy because the gentlemen make a lot of money, right? And
I've heard.
And listen, that's just the going rate. My complaint is not there. The idea, though, is that, just think of this as like a business trip, right? And, you know, and this is your job,
yes,
right? And so, take basketball out of the equation and put a different profession into the equation. Say, would this fly if you were a salesperson?
A fuller brush salesman.
All right, I need to make a correction before we get past this. I was wrong about the playoffs. They voted last night, yesterday, to expand the playoffs from 10 teams to 16 teams. So to everybody texting in, my sincere apologies for offending you, but it's going to be 10 to 6 from 10 teams to 16 teams for the 2020 season.
All right.
So cool. The playoffs will be different this year.
Cool.
All right, done deal. Hey, I wanted to, we got Kreischer coming up in about 20 minutes or so, but I wanted to make sure we take a moment or two to acknowledge a milestone that is taking place tomorrow. Actually, it was 40 years ago tomorrow, July 25th, 1980, that AC/DC released their biggest selling album ever, Back in Black. It was the band's first set without Bon Scott as a lead singer. He had died in February of that year. He was 33 years old, passed out, choked on his own vomit. Oh. There are a couple different stories as to what exactly happened, but it was a long night of drinking, and he was in a car, I think was the story. But they decided to press on. They hired Brian Johnson from a band called Gordy, and he took over on vocals, obviously. And then they headed to the Bahamas for about 6 weeks to do the album. And AC/DC at that time had made some serious headway in America before Scott's death, but no one knew how Back in Black would be received. The album was produced by Mutt Lange, took off, eventually sold over 25 million copies in the U.S. alone.
It's still one of the most legendary rock Phoenix from the Ashes stories of all time. They're Behind the Music chronicles it. If you ever get a chance, I'm sure it's available on one of the streaming services. But I'll tell you what, early on, I hated AC/DC.
No really? Kidding.
Hated them.
Wow, okay.
And then I turned. I'm like, okay.
Including this album?
No,
prior to this. Okay.
Yeah.
Where did Brian Johnson come from? Like, what's, I don't know the genesis of him.
Peking.
I mean, obviously, I know. why he's, you know, the lead singer of the band, but I don't know how or where he came from. And
well, he was in a band called Gordy.
Okay.
Yeah, which I had mentioned earlier, but
okay.
Yeah, but that's they were, I guess, mildly successful.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he was invited to come and audition, or if he tracked him down, or what the story was. Nick, maybe you can find out.
Yeah.
Were these songs written prior to Bon passing away?
Good question.
I don't, lyrically, I don't think so. I think Bon was the lyric writer, if I am correct about that. I might be wrong, and I think that Brian came in and wrote the lyrics to these songs. But listen, I could be way off on that. We'll have to verify. But all told, Back in Black spent 22 weeks in the Billboard Top 200 Top 10, which is huge, man. I remember when that record hit, and it was just beginning to end. Nice gulp.
It's a big gulp.
Beginning to end, it is just, it's perfect. It's one of the, what I consider to be one of those perfect records. Because listen to the track listing. Hell's Bells, Shoot to Thrill, What Do You Do for Money, Honey, Giving the Dog a Bone, Let Me Put My Love Into You, Back in Black, You Shook Me All Night Long, Have a Drink on Me, Shake a Leg, and Rock and Roll Ain't Noise Pollution. Mm. You should know every single one of those songs. But he's from Australia, by the way. Bon Scott was from Australia. I'm sorry.
The whole band is, right?
But Brian's from England. And so he was in this band called, is it Gordy or Jordy?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either. But he was asked, Casey, to audition. So
I wonder who didn't make the cut.
Yeah, I don't know either. But Little Richard was...
John Davidson.
Little Richard was familiar with Brian.
That's incredible.
Jesus Christ. Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And
Kathy Lee Crosby and Fran Tarkenton.
Yeah. He was also the host of the Hollywood Squares for a little while,
too. Yeah, he didn't make the cut.
Well,
To get someone vocally who could handle this sort of stuff and have yet blow it out that way. I've never understood how anyone could sing a concert, a full concert roster, at that level, projecting that way with that level of screech.
Yeah. Nick, continue.
Angus Young knew about Brian Johnson through Little Richard, believe it or not. And so they auditioned him. And one of the earlier times where he had came to the audition, he was actually diagnosed with appendicitis. So he was not able to be up on stage. So, but it's a pretty fascinating story to see.
Potatoes, gravy, and cranberry sauce.
So who wrote the lyrics? Or most of the lyrics.
Yeah, see if you can find that out, Nick, who the principal songwriters were.
Yeah, there is audio of Bon Scott demoing the album Back in Black. They were written before Brian Johnson got to the band.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, I was not aware of that. I know that Malcolm was very, very big in the songwriting process. But lyrically, I didn't know who handled that. Malcolm was, he was kind of the secret weapon. He was behind the scenes because Angus was this outrageous over the top, you know, with his schoolboy outfit, and as crazy as he was on stage, he was the visual side of AC/DC, and obviously he was an outstanding guitarist. But Malcolm was the driving force in the songwriting, as far as coming up with the riffs and things like that. But I didn't know who lyrically handled the music.
Specifying any lyrics?
It says composed by Johnson, Angus, and Malcolm Young, but probably means like in final production and the stuff that ended up on the album. Some of the songs were written before its release, obviously, and before Johnson joined the band.
I know Neil Sedaka's a silent contributor, too.
Wow. You know what song I don't really like on that album? This is crazy because it was, I don't know if it was the biggest radio hit, but You Shook Me All Night Long.
That's a Brian song.
That's a Brian song?
Yeah. I dig that song. I also dig the video. You remember the video of that person, Shook Me All Night
Gorgeous
Long?
Gorgeous Blonde.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really? I always liked it. Now, listen, it's been played to death.
Yeah.
I'm kind of tired of hearing it, but I can't deny the fact that is just a great rock tune.
I just remember my most standout memory of that song is dancing with my prom date at my senior prom to that song and just being like, it was just awkward. It's not like really a dance song where you know, but...
And then how do you dance with a guy?
No, it was not a guy. It was a girl, and I liked her a lot.
It is a weird choice for a prom song.
I mean, it wasn't like our prom theme, but I just remember being on the dance floor and feeling super-duper awkward.
Well, it's not necessarily a dance song, but it's a crowd pleaser is what it is.
Right.
So is that why you harbor
maybe that's
odd
why.
Feelings?
Yeah. To it? If you want to take a little dive into AC/DC music in your celebration this weekend, Maximum Overdrive, the Stephen King movie that he directed, is back-to-back AC/DC music, and it's great. It's great in its badness.
Have a Drink on Me is one of my favorite songs. I love that. Shoot to Thrill, of course, that the Avengers breathe new life into that when Tony comes flying in to save the day. He cranks it up on the Quinjet's audio system, Have a Drink or Shoot to Thrill, and it's like, dude, yes. We just went up a level here. It's awesome. Brian Johnson had admitted that he didn't have a clue how successful Back in Black would turn out to be. He said, I just melted me brain in there, and I didn't know if it was good or bad. That was the first time I'd been in the Bahamas anyway, or near America, you know. And you have to remember, I was just fascinated by the whole culture and all, and I had no idea what the hell I was doing. He said,
I like him a lot.
He said, lucky, really. I was a bit lucky, I think.
What I think of when I hear this song is Month of Stunt Styles and Paintballs, because the lead up to that, it was a really good, like, you guys, what's the word I'm looking for? Framed it really well with audio. You used audio from Lethal Weapon where he's going, shoot me, shoot me, shoot me, shoot me, and then you hit this thing. It was, it was really, really good.
We're looking at the video of Casey getting shot with 1,000 paintballs.
That was pretty brutal.
I love when any sports intro or really anything, Hell's Bells gets me amped up. Like that intro, and if you hear it at a sporting event, it's hair stands up on the back of your neck kind of a thing.
Yeah, and the follow up album to this, which was for those about to rock, when that hit too, man, I was AC/DC. All in at that point, man. I wore my T-shirt to school every day. Oh, it was just the best. And my fond memory of AC/DC, and I've told you guys this story before, I was in eighth grade. It was Christmas Day. My parents had given me Highway to Hell on cassette for Christmas.
Yes, of course.
Highway to Hell. That was the first day I'd ever done bong hits.
In honor of Jesus' birthday.
What a day.
Yeah. Bong hits for Jesus.
What a day that was. Eighth grade.
Oh, my God.
So how did they also give you a bong for Christmas? Or how
that was from my sister.
Okay.
Please. That was from another relative. it was 40 years ago that album came out, man, and it continues to sell consistently. It's Angus Young recently explained that AC/DC is like a killer recipe that always delivers, which is why the band never changed its approach to playing live. So they still continue to do it. He said somebody once had said, people know what they like and like what they know. In the beginning, we were, just a rock and roll band, and we would play in bars and clubs and stuff, and it's what the audience was coming to hear you for. The funny thing about, I remember at that time, too, is, with things like Highway to Hell and Hell's Bells and all these references to hell.
Right.
I was a tad bit concerned. I was in a different frame of mind then that I was flirting with Satan.
Yes, and you were opening up the door.
And how dangerous this would be for the afterlife. And, now you look back at what these bands were doing, and they were just having fun.
We're cool.
Yeah.
It's all right. Don't worry about it. That's not the real deal.
They weren't pushing a satanic agenda.
It's like in Little Nicky when you find out, they play Chicago backwards, and they're the real devil messages,
Yep. I mean, it wasn't until the Osbournes TV show came out that Pat Boone sings the lyrics to Crazy Train that I realized, this is a song about just, love one another.
Right. Yes. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
It's a good message.
But when you're looking at Blizzard of Oz and you're seeing him on the back of an upside-down cross and everything, oh, my God, this guy, he sacrifices animals.
And it was all an orchestration. It was all an image that they needed to get out to make parents dislike them, and that helps sell it. The whole creation of Alice Cooper.
Oh, yeah.
Playing golf. Once parents hated it, the kids went nuts for it.
Yeah. And it worked, hook, line, and sinker.
I mean, a lot of people forget AC/DC wrote Sunshine Day.
No! They wrote that!
They wrote that!
But if you're younger, it's kind of hard for you to wrap your mind around. But it was salacious and controversial and scary Sunshine Day was.
This one is called Sunshine Day.
But I mean, like AC/DC, Ozzy Osbourne, Iron Maiden, all that stuff. It was like, it was really flirting with the occult and so on, but it really wasn't. It was just good rock and roll music, you know?
The whole concept of 666.
Oh, yeah.
That's not even, that has no correlation.
Right.
It's just a creation. But if you would draw any symbolism or any album cover from any of these bands, it was a tantamount to saying, I worship Satan.
Yeah. I mean, you looked at, like, Iron Maiden and Eddie, right? That ghouly monster skeleton guy, you know?
Yeah.
I also thought the same thing about the Grateful Dead, because they had, you know, it was a skeleton, a skull and all that.
They had death imagery, absolutely.
And also, like, look at The Cure, right?
Yeah.
The Cure, all the people wore, like, black and, you know, they had the... I was like, oh, The Cure.
Captain and Tennille.
Captain and
Tennille. Absolutely. What do you think Muskrat Love was about?
Yeah, it's about the devil.
Muskrat's another way of saying Satan. A lot of people don't know that.
Looks like Muskrat Love.
Hang on, I'm gonna go to Joey with an interesting story, and then we got to take a break. Hey, Joey, you're on the air, buddy.
How you doing, guys?
Good. What's up, man?
Okay, so a story I have about the AC/DC album.
Go ahead.
Well, I fought in the Second Battle of Fallujah in Iraq in 2005,
mm-hmm.
and that was the biggest offensive since Hue City in Vietnam. Well, we had a... You know, we were prepping for a couple of days and all. And when we were going into the city was full of nothing but insurgents.
Right.
And
in Vietnam?
No, right. in Fallujah.
I know, but he said Vietnam.
Well, he said that that battle that they were going into was like the biggest...
since Vietnam.
Yeah.
I got that too. Okay, go ahead, Joey.
So we were driving with our night vision, so the enemy couldn't see our lights or anything like that. And the next thing you know, when over the intercom, I mean, we're talking like 300 Humvees, tanks, everything. And they ended up turning on the lights, and then PSYOP started blaring Hell's Bells by AC/DC, and then we just started lighting up the city.
Wow. Whoa. So that was the soundtrack for the battle.
Yes, sir.
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty interesting.
That's an image... that you'll never forget. Holy crap, to see somebody. Yeah, God, what a memory to associate with it.
All right, thanks, man. Appreciate it. I don't know. Maybe We Got Tonight would have worked.
Yeah, that would have been good.
Maybe that would have worked. I don't know.
Let's kiss the man!
As they crest the hill.
I think so. Okay. It would be so confusing. What is this? What is that? Bob Segal, you only play that at frat parties.
Still okay. Here we are. Well, anyway, it was 40 years ago tomorrow. Unbelievable that Back in Black came out. So worth acknowledging. And in fact, we have stuff going on here at MMR this weekend, which is pretty damn cool. It's an MMRtist weekend, and we're saluting Back in Black. And there's going to be blocks every single hour honoring the landmark album and tracks from both Bon Scott and Brian Johnson eras of the band. And AC/DC is our MMR Saturday night concert series as well, which is sponsored by Acme Markets, official supermarket of the President Steve Show. So that's going to be on Saturday night, 7 p.m. tomorrow night. Oh, and yeah.
It's going to be my regular Saturday night thing, baby.
It should be.
Oh, yeah.
They need to use that in the promos.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
For the Saturday night concert series.
It's
going
to be my regular Saturday night thing, baby.
Oh, yeah. Dude. Yes. Send that to Zach immediately.
Oh, yeah. You're going to be my regular Saturday night thing, baby. Oh, yes.
Tune in.
One more time, please.
Oh, yeah. You're going to be my regular Saturday night thing, baby. Oh, yeah.
I love that last, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which oh, yeah is more disgusting, the first one or the second one?
The second one.
I like the second one,
okay.
Too.
Yeah. He's hunched over in a closet banging a cocktail waitress. And he's giving her a special designation.
Yes.
She's the woman he's going to have sex with on Saturday nights.
His regular Saturday night thing, yeah. So every Saturday night at 7, a different band each week all summer. The best... Rock concerts from around the globe and right here in Philly, of course. And tag us on Twitter and Instagram at 93.3 WMMR and show us where you're listening, please. So AC/DC this weekend. We're going to take a break. Come back in a second. Bert Kreischer will be joining us. And before Bert comes on, go to WMMR.com and check the Bert Kreischer's greatest appearances on the President and Steve Show. It's a great list and you'll love it. We'll be right back.
MMR and Live Nation are happy to announce the live performance drought is finally over. It's the Live-In at the Drive-In concert series. A month of shows in the Phillies parking lot. You'll experience from your car.
93.3 WMMR and Brent Smith and Zach Myers from Shinedown invite you to rock live in your ride Thursday, September 3rd.
Get up, move on.
Preston and Steve's favorite shirtless comedian, Bert Kreischer, opens the series August 16th.
My wife called me watching porn the other day. She goes, your phone's tethered to the TV in the bedroom.
See the full schedule at WMMR.com. The Live-In at the Drive-In concert series, the socially awesome solution to a performance-less pandemic.
Featuring Shinedown's Smith and Myers, Bert Kreischer, and many more.
Tickets on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. at LiveNation.com from 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
We're excited to have our next guest on. We're excited because he's coming to town. Like, nobody's been coming to town. He's coming to town.
He's, at this point, the Chuck Yeager of comedy.
I would have to say so. He's branching out into worlds unknown at this point in time. So we're doing the Live-In Drive-In, which is going to be taking place at Citizens Bank Park in the parking lot. And August 16th is when the show is. Tickets go on sale in 49 minutes, by the way, so you don't want to miss them. And by the way, take a look at PresidentSteve.com because Marissa has compiled a list of Bert Kreischer's greatest moments on the Preston and Steve Show.
And there are many.
There are many. Without further ado, let's get him up and get him on. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Bert Kreischer to the show. Bertie boy!
That list is better than an Emmy Award.
There's been some special moments.
I looked at that and I went, she just told me about it. I just saw it. And I went, I saw number 8 and I was like, wait, 8? There's no way I'm going to remember these. Because when I look back, I remember my two things were Kathy Quinceañera.
Yes.
Yeah. And Courtney Love.
Courtney Love, right?
Courtney Love's like, Courtney Love would be number one for me.
Yeah.
That was the funnest day I've ever had in studio ever anywhere.
I remember the look. She comes in here. She was, obviously her life is storied life, been through a lot. But when you're in here with your shirt off, I remember the look on her face was like, I wasn't ready for this. It was so great.
And both of those produced some of the greatest pictures we have.
Yes.
And what about your time, Bert, with M. Night Shyamalan?
I know. And then as soon as I say those, as every time I read a new one, I go, oh, that's right. Like, what's so silly is I remember the time I was wearing that Tampa Bay, that green Tampa Bay hat. Because I ended up drinking all day long and going right to the show. I got a kid drunk for the first time that had never gotten drunk that day.
Oh, wow.
I mean, every single one of them I look at and I go, oh, that's right. The thing I want on my tombstone is, you should have seen the look on their face when they met Bert.
Yeah, that is the one underlying truth, is that it always causes the same sort of reaction. But it's great. And as Preston was saying, Bert, it's, you know, everything's been so dramatically fluid during these uncertain COVID times. And everyone is jazzed at this, at live shows coming back. So we're adapting. But you've done a few of these, right? You're the man for this job.
I'm not going to credit myself for everything, but on March 17th, when my special dropped, I called my agent and I said, get me parking lots, get me drive-in movie theaters. And I did a drive-in movie theater like a month ago. I did a tour, and I'm telling you, it was the funnest thing I've ever done. It was so much fun to allow people, give people a safe place to enjoy live interactions, getting outside, having a good time. But as soon as I did it, I called him. I said, book more of them. It's that much fun.
Wow. It's so cool. And again, as you're saying, people are waiting to, are just chomping at the bit to get out and just be part of something, a communal deal. So
yeah.
Your show's big anyway. You're a big personality on stage. I mean, you're hilarious. You've got all the chops that you need. But what were the things that blew you away about the interaction with an audience that's you're basically a live drive-in movie?
Oh, for me, number one was tailgating. Tailgating? It's the fact that you could add tailgating to my show made me cry. I was like, are you kidding me? And then to get to see how my fans tailgate, you know what it's like? It's like going to Bill Burr said, I don't ever want to do comedy where everyone's throwing a football before the show.
Yeah.
I am the exact opposite.
Dudes
had their pickup trucks. Dudes had their pickup trucks and they had filled them with water to make jacuzzis. And I was so touched that someone would take the time to lie in their bed with this queen of their truck, fill it up with water, and find a way to make it hot. I was like, is that for me?
I think you're going to see that here. I definitely think people are just, again, chopping at the bit, and they're going to throw it all at this event.
Oh, it is. I'm telling you, the number one thing I love more than anything is that the show starts and everyone gets to see a beautiful sunset.
Yeah.
Dude, so much of my personality is made out of this. And then at the end of the show, we get in a golf cart, drive around and do a meet and greet, socially distanced, safe. I'm in the back like an oversized golf bag, just driving around with a pizza and soda, no shirt on, saying thank you. They are so much fun. The run we did blew me away, and I was like, line up more. And so we're doing these, and then I go to Atlanta. I shoot a TV show for a month, and then I do another run to get home. It's zero contact.
Well, listen, it's awesome, people, and that fact that you can do that. You've worked it out. This isn't a dry run. You've got the game down now. But what's also cool, you talk about the sunset, where the stage is behind you is one of the most beautiful views of the city of Philadelphia. So you're gonna have. I mean, if you
backdrop.
It's gonna be incredible.
Oh man, I'm telling you, I may not go back to theaters.
It's a new realm, and it's something. Listen, we will be back in theaters, and we'll be doing that. But if you can add this as another element, another opportunity, a show with a different it's like when you started doing the check out of work, day drinking events. That's something that hadn't been done before. You add that to the roster. It gives people different ways to enjoy your performances. It gives them something to do.
Yeah, those call us at the work shows we did. That for me was like trying something new and then having it work and having other comics call you up and go, so wait, how does that work? And then you just know, oh, I'll tell you how it works. We drink them out of booze. All the Heinekens are gone at 8 a.m. That's how that works.
That's how it works. Bert, how do you handle the car horn thing? Is that their applause at the drive-in shows?
I'm very lucky. I mean, I don't know if other people do that, have that problem, but all my fans are comedy fans. So everyone is silent through the entire show, just listening, laughing, having a great time. And at the end, this is the greatest part also. At the end, everyone comes on stage, and for a standing ovation, everyone flicks their high beams and hits their car horns. It feels like you're getting abducted by aliens.
So with the tour going on, and you're really busy. I mean, you never stop. And by the way, the Bill and Bert podcast is really great conversation and comedy. So kudos for just putting together something with Bill Burr. It's really compelling stuff. I love it. But when do you have time to write new material? Because you're always posting, you're always on the road, and if you're not on the road, you're doing something else.
I shot my special in November. I wrote all through December and January, shot a show for Netflix in January, it's coming out soon, and then started a new tour right before COVID started, and I did a few clubs and so to work it out, but I had a new hour by the beginning of the tour, January 30th, and was touring a new hour up until they shut things down. So I'm very lucky. I don't know if you could say lucky or I'm just obsessive and compulsive with working, but I'm very lucky because most comics couldn't go out and tour right now.
Yeah.
Shot specials. And then And we also did a run of clubs, which was a nightmare. We did a run of clubs. Holy cow. to catch a COVID. It was horrific. But so I'm really lucky in that I kind of was ready to tour. And that's why I called my agent and I was like, get me into drive-ins because I want to work.
No, you did the right thing because we've talked to a lot of our comedian friends, over the course of the past few weeks. And I mean, there was a certain, okay, we don't know what's going on, but we assume it'll be sooner than later. And then as things started to roll and it seemed a little bit more problematic. I mean, you could definitely hear the change in a lot of the people who weren't as proactive as were you. You could tell it was like, oh, man, this S got real. And so, obviously we will come out of it eventually. But you're particularly poised to have something and also incite other comedians to try to do this as well. I wanted to ask you, you said you were doing a show. You were next month. You're recording a show?
I'm doing a TV show.
A TV show? Where's it being shot?
In Macon, Georgia.
Okay. All right.
You're acting, or is this reality show?
This is why I'm not supposed to talk. I'm not supposed to talk about it.
Okay. All right. Enough said. Okay. Enough said.
Well, I just wanted to
I'll tell you everything. It's me, Snoop Dogg, Miranda Lambert. It's a great
I'll tell you everything.
It's a big thing. It's a big thing. What is it?
You know I'm an open book. I'll tell you everything.
Yeah, but we don't want it to get shut down.
I'm not going to tell you anything. I'll tell you everything.
I can't tell you anything because it's a complete biohazard, but it's me, Snoop Dogg, and Miranda Lambert.
That's why I'm doing the tour. I had to get to Macon, Georgia safely, so I was like, well, get my tour bus.
Oh, my God.
Just put some dates on the way there.
Well, dude, some of the shows and movies have already started. They're soap operas are recording. They're making adaptations. Some of the movies... it's funny we were talking about this, Bert, and I know you're a porn aficionado yourself, that the porn industry has sort of instructed general filmmaking and general film productions on health checks, like, temperature checks and having doctors and making sure that when they're on set, everyone has been vetted and all that stuff. So, I mean, it is happening. Things are opening up. The people are just having to be cautious, obviously.
Yeah, we have to be quarantined for... a certain amount of time. So for like 10 days or 15 days, I'm just sitting in a hotel room.
Yeah.
So it's crazy. Things are getting back to normal with shooting stuff and schedules, but it is bizarre. Like the kind of hoops you have to jump through. Dude, during the last tour, I was so freaked out. And then we did the whole tour. We did comedy clubs too, and they were a nightmare. And then we all got COVID tests before we got home and then got COVID tests. And had to quarantine again for 15 days. It's crazy, man. I'm ready for things to go back to normal.
But you're fearless. And I'll tell you how I know you are absolutely one of the most fearless people in the world. You were suggesting to Tom Segura on your podcast that you both reveal your porn search histories. And that is like one of the bravest. I don't know if you followed through with it, but that, if you want to talk about the ultimate Rorschach test, the ultimate personality exposure, that is hardcore. Did you follow through with that?
I sent him mine. He has not sent me his.
He seemed reticent to do that.
Yeah, because you've admitted to us before that whatever you look up in porn is nothing that you would really be interested in real life.
Oh, yeah. I've seen stuff. I saw this one. I mean, obviously, there's quicksand porn. We've all seen that.
Yes.
But that's the one where I think what's weird about me is that when I see something crazy in porn, I out myself on stage and go, oh, just so you guys know, I watched this. Because I am terrified. That's my Me Too moment is when they start releasing our porn search engines and then the camera video from my computer. And they're like, oh, this is what he looks like when he watches it. You know that's not going to be attractive. You're gonna be viewing it from the angle of the camera on the computer, yes. So it'll look like you're leaning back, like, oh god, get it off. Why is he wearing readers?
You're wearing your bifocals.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Of course. How are you gonna see if you don't tilt your head up?
Wow, the most unattractive accessory ever.
Oh, who looks good during, you know, that? No one looks pleasant.
Not me. I want to go back in the
conversation.
I want to go back in the conversation a little bit. You really do say nightmare, don't you?
Oh, yeah, I can't stop it. Look, there's a lot of things I found out about myself by doing a podcast with Tom that is not normal.
Yeah.
Apparently, no one drinks 2 gallons of Kool-Aid a day. I did not know that.
Yeah, we saw that. I mean, that is, listen, Kool-Aid has an ungodly amount of sugar in it.
Yeah.
How you're and yet you still manage to hold it together. How, I mean, are you just slamming it? Are you walking around like the dudes who walk around with the quart of iced tea in a container? How are you drinking all this Kool-Aid?
Yeah, I got a growler from a distillery, and I fill it up with ice and Kool-Aid, 64 ounces of Kool-Aid, and I go through it during the day. It's really enjoyable. I know, like, everyone makes fun of it. You'd be shocked how hydrated you are at the end of the day if you have Kool-Aid in your growler.
I haven't drank Kool-Aid since I was 12.
Seriously.
You must piss molasses.
Oh, it's so, it does not let you down. Like, it is just when you were 12.
Jesus, wow. Kool-Aid.
For the record, it's low-calorie Kool-Aid.
Oh, okay. Well, then, there
all right,
go.
All right. Well, we were prejudging. We shouldn't have.
There are people listening going, I know what he's talking about. I get the single serving. It's 5 calories, maybe 10.
Yeah.
And you dump them in. It is so enjoyable. Why wouldn't you do that? Like, it's like saying, like, why wouldn't you drink on a flight? Of course you would. Like, why would you, what are you going to say, sober and read a book?
Hey, Bert, when you're in town, I just wanted to let you know, the following day we're doing a bike ride from Philadelphia to Atlanta, Georgia, if you're interested.
Oh, that was the most miserable experience I've ever had in my entire life. And by the way, you know I got lit up for eating Uncrustables. Everyone mocked me. That Uncrustable was my favorite experience I've ever had in life. To be halfway there and be like, I can't make this. And then Casey just looks at me and goes, want an Uncrustable? And I'm like, oh, my God, more than anything in the world.
Dude, I'll tell you what.
Kool-Aid and Uncrustables, man.
My friend Brendan, he goes by the name Beef Stew. He's all butthurt because he says he's the one who handed you the Uncrustable.
He may be. Look, I speak in hyperbole.
Yeah. So
the story isn't good if I say a strange man walked up to me and says, do you want an Uncrustable?
Right.
It just makes more sense. It's more brand friendly on the radio to say, Casey.
I agree
with you. Right. All right, well, listen, man, this is much needed, your appearance here in Philadelphia. People are dying to get out to be able to do something communally and have a good time doing it. So this is perfect timing on this, Bert. We're really looking forward to it.
It's a great way, and trust me when I say my biggest concern is to make sure everyone's safe.
Yep.
It's a great way to get out, feel like you're part of the community, have a good time, do something different, get out of the norm of what you've been stuck in. And see live comedy, and I have the best COVID joke ever, ever. Like, it didn't work because no one knew what coronavirus was in February and in March, but now that people do, this joke is so good.
All right. Well, we're going to let you save it for the show because, I mean, honestly, that's... again, to be at Citizens Bank Park, the parking lot's huge. The whole setup, the city behind you, the stage, all the elements, what you get, you know, you and a couple of your friends in the car, you get it. You know, like it's a 17x17 area. They're spacing things out. You can feel safe and have a good time. We're all looking forward. By the way, is there a VIP car section behind the stage, or how do they handle that?
No, there's no VIP. By the way, people are like, how do I pay extra to hang out with you? I was like, I don't want coronavirus either.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I think like the Rolls Royces are parked in the back. But listen, it's everyone's going to have a great time. And as Preston said, everyone is super psyched for it.
Yep. And tickets are going on sale in 30 minutes. 30 minutes tickets go on sale. All right, Bert, good to talk to you. We will see you when you get in town, man. All right.
I absolutely love you guys. You're like family to me. Thank you so much.
We love you. Excellent. Bert Kreischer, guys. Machine, our buddy, coming to town. And I, in a little bit, not at this very moment, but I am going to give away some tickets. I will tell you when to call in, nice. But we will give away some for that show. So like I said, they go on sale at 10 a.m. We got a couple of minutes. Can I bring up one or two things?
Sure thing,
just, you know, maybe some things I noticed or something along those lines. Or yeah, sure, why not?
Really?
Really? Yeah, I did. Well, yeah, I noticed.
It's a late Friday edition of The Noticer. Caught us off guard, but that's what The Noticer does.
That's right.
He's a loose cannon, a free spirit. He doesn't march to the beat of your drum. He marches to the beat of his own drum.
That's right. Okay, so I noticed that in these confusing times, people are concerned, especially if they're single, as to whether or not what their happiness level is. Would they be happier with somebody else?
All right, I have an observation in a second. Go.
Okay, Michigan State University researchers looked at the relationship histories of over 7,000 people ages 18 to 60, and they found that lifelong singles and those who had varied relationship histories were no less happy than those who were consistently married. So, if you are a single person and you think that your unhappiness is all about you being single, it may not necessarily be the case. So, I think that's good news.
I was single for, so I didn't get married until my mid-30s. And, I was always happy. I'm happy I found Claire, but you just have to know, once you place your happiness on someone else, you're heading for a downfall.
So the study co-author, to give this some perspective, Mariah Pearl says that this suggests that those who have loved and lost are just as happy towards the end of life as those who never loved at all.
So that it's better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. It holds true.
Or it says they're just as happy as those who have never loved.
There you go.
So either way, you're
good. It's all a bunch of crap.
Yeah. No, either way, you're good.
And Steve, to your point, like once you're happy with yourself, you're going to be more attractive to the opposite sex or whatever sex you choose anyway. So at the beginning of, not the beginning of the quarantine, but like throughout the pandemic, it was fairly common to see people breaking up because they had been spending so much time together that I should say it wasn't uncommon, right?
Divorce rates were rising. You're right. There was certain strife issues in relationships that we were seeing on the rise,
and they were possibly forced to spend more time together than they anticipated, and they learned things about their partners that maybe they no longer liked.
That they crap in the bed,
stuff like that.
Amber Heard and perfect Johnny example. Depp.
Yeah. Over the last 2 or 3 weeks. I've heard stories of people coming together. So relationships are now starting. And I think part of the reason why they're starting now is that people are figuring out what they value in life. And they're finding other people that value the same things. And so I've noticed 3 or 4 relationships that have seemed to be going really strong. And it's because of the pandemic.
That have strengthened. Do you know anybody who's actually, and it has happened, where people have met during the pandemic, and people have gotten together if they're doing their own quarantining or whatever,
they're doing it the right way.
Yeah, then it has happened.
Are you talking about? I'm sorry, I was reading through the next part of this. People that are spending more time together, finding it they're happier, or is people who have met
people just virtually? No, it's mostly people just giving up, right?
No. Initially, it was I think the pandemic caused a lot of breakups because they had spent so much time together, and so it wasn't uncommon to see a breakup because of the pandemic, right? But now that we've gotten used to what our life has been over the last few months, that over the last 3 or 4 weeks, relationships have started because people are finding out what they have in common with others. So these relationships are now, the pandemic is now creating relationships.
Okay, but my question is, are these people who have met virtually and so on?
Virtually, and then they're able to get together because they share the same values.
Right, okay. So, yeah, that's another subject. There is a whole other study that says, yes, people are indeed doing that. And there's also some tips to what you can expect on when you are meeting someone in person for the first time, even though you've started to forge a relationship that has been virtual in nature or has been visually only.
My guess is an immediate handy. Crybaby because he's just been chomping.
Let's get this out of the way.
Yeah, let's go.
We've been talking a good game for a while now.
Drop trowel and let's go.
Yeah.
My relationship with my wife and children, for that matter, has been different for the past few months in that we've been living apart from each other.
During the week, she's down at the shore, right?
She's been down the shore. Basically, she has been down there since the kids were actually in school. When they were doing their online schooling, they went down there for a weekend, and the kids were like, can we just stay here? You know, and it didn't matter because they were Zoom learning and all that
better
sort of stuff.
Better to not disrupt them. Now, do you get along with her other husband?
He's a great guy.
He's a great guy.
He's a good man. He's a great guy, tender lover, from what I hear.
From what I've seen.
No, I refuse to watch.
You're not a cuck?
No.
Okay.
No,
right, go ahead.
But
Beach Cuck. That's a new movie. Beach Cuck. Bingo. Da-dun-dun. But go ahead.
I don't even know where to start. it's been really interesting. I've been single for, you know, during the week.
A lot of these, those dynamics do exist too, where you've had people who, because of people who are working in the medical industry, for example, who are exposed to COVID, if they're at a hospital, have not been able to be with their families for a long time.
So what's been interesting, and I noticed this yesterday, because listen, man, I got home from work yesterday. I was a little bit run down. So I sat down on the couch for a little bit, and then at like 4 o'clock, I'm like, all right, I mean, I'm free to do. And usually, listen, my relationship's not very restrictive, but I'm free to come and go as I please right now. And it's really bizarre because in all senses, Steve, I'm free to come and go as I want.
I'm going to build a fort.
It was 4 o'clock and I'm like, I drove to Valley Forge. I went for a 2-hour hike.
Your responsibilities are only for yourself at this point. You don't have to worry about your kids or getting dinner or soccer practice.
The house is clean. There's a couple of dishes in the sink. My bed doesn't get made, but that's pretty much it.
Dogs? Are the dogs down the shore too?
So one dog is down the shore. The other dog stays at home with my mother, and that dog has basically abandoned me. Yeah. Fozzie is now my mom's dog.
Okay,
right? He'll come and hang out with me for a little bit, and then he looks at me. He's like, "I'm just going to go downstairs."
Well, because he's second favorite, he knows it.
Not only that, I guarantee your mother is slipping him all sorts of treats.
Oh, dude, my mom cooks him his meals.
Of course she does.
Oh, we should have a conversation about this. I have a friend.
We'll do that.
Yeah,
we'll do that. Save it.
So I don't need to go into details about the lavish lifestyle that Fozzie's living right now. But honestly,
so you don't have to worry about him either.
And again, like, I come and go as I please. But like, when I'm with my wife and children, obviously it's like, okay, I can't go for a 3-hour bike ride without going, all right, do I have any responsibilities here first?
Right.
Right.
How do I shirk them?
Yeah.
But here you've got the experience. Okay.
All right. So
I'm single from.
What are we taking away from this? That it's nice?
That he lost the dog.
Being?
It's kind of nice.
Yeah. No, listen, Rochelle would take the kids sometimes for 3 weeks at a time over the summer to go visit family because I couldn't leave for that length of time. I would stay here. And it was very liberating in some sense. Did I miss them? Absolutely.
Yes.
But
a lot? No.
Not to that. No. But I found time to do other things.
You know what? Like, so Chuck D'Amico down the hall. And is Chuck any better of a husband or a father than any of us? Yes.
much better.
Much better. Much, much more committed. No, but there's no way he would be as content as any of us.
He's got an attachment to the family.
He has to have that.
He's really good at that. You're more flippant and less caring, and that's what makes it really good.
Yeah.
Chuck gets a great dad as well.
Chuck gets uncomfortable when separated from his family.
He and sad.
Casey and I are like, woo!
God, yes.
I'm like, because honestly, I'm there with and the kids are bickering about. I'm like, go work it out. Just work it out. I don't care. Until I have to care. And I'm like, you did not.
There are times in the house, in our house, it's just my wife and I, and where I literally, you know, I'm
I have to go and look and see if the car, if her car is outside, because
you don't know she's there.
Because we get involved in certain things, and sure. I got my. And she'll,
is she home?
Yeah.
That's really funny.
And then when we hang out, we love it. It's great. And it's hold it, but I do have that sense, and it's, and I need that, so it helps.
But wait, back to like the Chuck thing. So I have a friend who says to me all the time. She's like, I know you think I'm a bad mom, but I did take them to go do something today. She's like, you and all your activities, I can't take it. She's like, my kids get like one a month. They're good.
Kath, yeah, you're a good mom too.
I have a friend who it was early on in her motherhood, but I believe she had at least two children at this point. But
two that she knew of.
She birthed them, so she was very well aware of how many kids she had, Steve. But she was a stay-at-home mom, and so she had the kids all day, every day. But dude, when Friday came,
yeah,
and Daddy came home from work for the week, she had her bags packed and she left and went and stayed with her friends for the weekend.
I feel like you told us this.
Yeah,
before.
Well, she was a younger mother. She was probably in her mid to late 20s or whatever, and she's like, "I'm done." You know,
and that
like,
woman grew up to be Sandra Day O'Connor.
I did my job for the week, and she basically checked out. Yeah, and they were still married.
All right. Well, it's a different angle to some extent on this, but it does speak to the point of being comfortable being by yourself and being single, and that you get your pleasure, you get your joy. If you're comfortable and confident with yourself, right? I mean,
when I was kind of lost and yeah. lonely, living alone
in this lovely, lonely life,
I told you there was a song that gave me inspiration. It was from, of all bands, REO Speedwagon,
yeah.
But it's called Keep Pushing.
Oh.
And the lyrics are, I used to be lonely till I learned about living alone. I found other things to keep my mind on. And it goes on and on about how if you concentrate on certain things, you cannot essentially distract yourself worrying about how alone you are. You know what I mean?
I agree 1,000%. To that
extent. Not necessarily distract yourself, but find put your efforts elsewhere. And if it's right, it's right. It'll come along. If you obsess on it, it can eat away at you. And this helped me concentrate on other things like work and friends, you know?
Yeah. Well, listen, the saying goes, grass is always greener on the other side, and it's totally true. So you have what you have, and you look at what the other person has, and you're like, and you're jealous, and then you get that, and you're like, I kind of liked it the other
way. I don't even like grass.
Yeah.
I love it.
By the way, when it comes to happiness, whether someone is in a relationship or not is rarely the whole story, according to the co-author of this study. People can certainly be unhappy in relationships, and single people derive enjoyment from all sorts of other parts of their lives, like their friendships, hobbies, and work. In retrospect, if the goal is to find happiness, it seems a little silly that people put so much stock in being partnered. They're saying you can be single and be happy.
In fact, I think it's detrimental. If you do not learn how to be happy by yourself doing things that enhance your own quality of life, I don't think you're going to have a lot of luck if you again derive all of your pleasure in life through someone else. That's a folly. When both people in a relationship are both happy and aware and self-confident, then you're going to have a great relationship. That's what I think.
There's a good chance I'd be dead if I were still single. You know, if I did not meet my wife and have children and all that sort of stuff, I don't be necessarily
partying know. Partying too hard, you
yeah,
mean?
Probably.
Okay. Well, you were a soldier of fortune prior to getting married.
Right. Okay. I did notice something else.
Wait a second, but I see something at the top of your page, Preston.
No, I put JSI, the Just Saying Institute, as a question mark.
Well, what is it?
I wasn't sure if
I... Has the noticer noticed that we've shifted to the JSI? Or
no.
What's going on?
I noticed this study from the Just Saying Institute. How about that?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so it's a little bit of both.
Just noticed something from the Just Saying Institute.
Scientists are...
Situated over 200 acres in West Virginia, the Just Saying Institute provides all sorts of insignificant information for morning shows around the country.
These aren't for morning shows. Right? Anyway, scientists... are flocking to Florida's Gulf Coast for a glimpse of a mysterious 425 feet deep blue hole in the ocean floor.
I saw this.
Yeah.
This is cool and freaky.
And I actually got this story off of FARC, and the submitter who did it had basically said, okay, when are the kaiju surfing thing?
It is. It's the Pacific Rim.
So the glowing mystery hole about 155 feet below the water surface. So it's already 155 feet below, and then it goes 425 feet down. is similar to the sinkholes seen in on solid land. The site has been dubbed the Green Banana.
I looked at the diagram of the rendering of the hole. It looks nothing like a banana. I don't know why they call it the Green Banana.
Well, a green banana is unripened. Maybe it has something to do with that. I don't know.
Stupid.
It has been a hot topic for scientists and deep sea explorers who have been hoping for a glimpse of the phenomenon from afar. Surprisingly, the first reports of blue holes came from fishermen and recreational divers, not scientists or researchers.
Do they think the glow is biochemical in nature?
I don't know. I haven't seen anything about that. It wasn't in this article.
Or is it close to some sort of volcanic activity?
Oh, no.
Or are there just a whole bunch of light bulbs down there?
In general, the holes appear to host diverse biological communities full of marine life, including corals, sponges, mollusks, sea turtles, and sharks.
What about seahorses?
I love seahorses. I love them.
What is the seahorse captain? What is the seahorse seashell party? Who didn't invite me?
It must be a seashell seahorse party.
Why didn't I get invited? Seahorse seashell?
Seashell. Scientists already have collected 17 water samples from the area surrounding the hole, along with 4 sediment samples.
What is the seahorse captain?
Remarkably, they also discovered 2 dead but intact small tooth sawfish.
What is the seahorse seashell party?
an endangered species at the bottom of the hole.
Huh, so they were dead.
Yes.
Good news. We found 2 dead ones.
Remains of one of the animals were recovered for examination.
Next to a will.
Isn't it amazing that we have better maps of the surface of the moon than we do of the oceans?
It is astonishing.
It's just this last uncharted but vast area that needs to be explored on this planet. But, this is a mystery. In this day and age, there are still mysteries on our planet.
Yeah, we know more about the seahorse.
Yes. Who didn't invite me? Why didn't I get invited? Seahorse, sea hell? What is this? Get real. I'm in love with seahorses.
That's a mystery.
Scientists plan to embark on a new mission to a second, deeper area of the hole in August. So that's coming up.
There is one. I forget exactly where it is. It is not glowing, but it is a super deep sinkhole. You've seen it, Preston. They've
on land?
No, it's
in water.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. And it's in like a lagoon. And there's a point at which it's salt water and then becomes
fresh water.
Fresh water.
Oh.
And then salt water again.
That's pretty wild.
There was a thing. There used to be a documentary. And I don't know if you can still find it. But apparently, and this could be completely wrong, but I thought what they were suggesting is that occasionally submarines will encounter.
I'm in love with them. They're so beautiful and cute. I'm in love with the seahorses.
Will occasionally encounter this sort of water level where, and they start, and it will cause the submarine to sink quicker.
Oh, because the buoyancy is
the
different.
Buoyancy drops, okay. And they have to compensate for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, because there's less saline right. in it. Okay. Yeah, I don't know what that phenomenon is called. I'm very interested in that, though.
Seahorses.
Just like seahorses.
They're unreal. I love them.
Researchers are interested in studying the seawater chemistry in the holes for its unique qualities.
They're like all the clocks. I love them. I love seahorses, and I love looking at them, and I love seashells. I love seashell things.
And little bags.
I love things with seashells and seahorses on them, like blankets and towels and little bags. I love them. Seahorses forever.
They're like all the clocks?
Seahorse clocks.
Oh, all right. Researchers don't know much about the blue holes, but scientists are hoping to learn if the holes are connected to Florida's groundwater or if there is groundwater intrusion into the Gulf of Mexico. And they're also looking to see if a particular blue hole is secreting nutrients or harbors microenvironments or new species of microbes.
There are a tremendous amount of underground. You know this. But the sinkholes are connected. There are water ways underground, and divers have gone in and gone along for like 2 miles underground.
It's scary.
You have to have some balls on you to go
scared.
Do it. I'm as scared of that too.
Yeah. All right. Anyhow, that's all we have time for as far as the noticer and the JSI.
Seahorses.
We're done with them. So we're going to take a break though. We're going to come back, and I do have some bizarre file studies that I've been saving for you. So stay with us. We're going to be right back.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Godsmack. The Killers. What's it gonna be? Green Day. We just keep on
dreaming. New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
We have yet another Daily Rush video that's out.
What?
Yeah, Nick Murphy has another one cranked out. And this one is called Jesus Invented the Roller Coaster.
And I don't even remember that.
It also says another little known Steve facts.
Huh.
So you came up with that. And we now have the video that you can see at PrestonSteve.com.
I'm sure it's true.
Watch it now on our website. And it's sponsored by Punchline Philly, Fishtown's first comedy club, restaurant, and bar. And listen, I also want to point out, everybody's been very good today. You've been very well behaved. Aww. And not you guys here in the studio.
No, we've been
talking, about our listeners.
Oh.
And so I would like to give your chances. Nobody's been super duper snarky today or anything. Tickets to see Bert Kreischer. Because tickets are on sale right now. It's 10 o'clock exactly. So, caller number 22. You get a ticket, which is good for you and three other people because each ticket is good for one car and a maximum of four people per car to enjoy the show in the comfort of your own vehicle. 215-263-WMMR, caller number 22. Sunday, August 16th is when this is going to be taking place. And it will be part of the live-in, drive-in concert series at Citizens Bank Park in the parking lot. So, let's get you on board, all right? Go to WMMR.com for the on-sale information, more drive-in concerts, and the do's and don'ts for that series. So, if you don't win right now, tickets are on sale now. You can go order them. Be good to go. We're going to do the Bizarre File while all that's going on.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, it's brought to you by Hers. You can pick up specially marked bags of Hers today for a chance to win $10,000 and take your summer to the next level. Full rules and details at summer.hers.com. Hers, forever good. A Long Island criminal defendant tried faking his own death to avoid a jail sentence, but the phony death certificate his lawyer submitted had a glaring spelling error that made it a dead giveaway of a fraud.
Did they misspell death?
No, but they did misspell something stupid. Robert Berger now faces up to 4 years in prison if convicted in the alleged scheme. That's in addition to pending sentences for earlier guilty pleas to charges of possession of a stolen Lexus and attempted grand larceny of a truck. He was scheduled to be sentenced a year ago in jail last October on the theft-related charges. He fled the state, and he took steps to convince his then-lawyer and prosecutors and the judge that he had killed himself, including allegedly using his fiancée to pass along a bogus death certificate.
Uh-huh.
At first glance, the death certificate looked like a legit official document issued by the New Jersey Department of Health, but there was one problem. Registry was spelled Reg-Sitry. Yeah, instead of R-E-G-I-S-T-R-Y, it was R-E-G-S-I-T-R-Y.
Uh-huh.
And there were also inconsistencies in the font type and size that raised suspicions. The real New Jersey Department of Health confirmed that Burge's death certificate was fake. And they found him alive, and he was arrested in suburban Philadelphia. And now he's got all kinds of issues that are going to come along with this. He was sentenced in January to up to a year in jail. Rangers at Yellowstone National Park had to kill a black bear after it had wandered into a campsite and bit a woman on the arm and head.
Well, listen, it's attacking a human. You can understand that.
Yeah, the woman...
What did I do?
The woman suffered bruises and minor abrasions from the bite. The bear also nipped at a child before eating the group's food. The park said rangers decided to kill the bear because of concerns over human safety, including that it had entered an occupied campsite.
Do I get a lawyer?
Bit a person and received a food reward after that behavior.
Yeah, you don't give it food after it attacks someone.
They didn't give to it, but they...
Bear.
Yeah, so he bit and...
Oh, you like this?
And then he went and... Yeah, exactly, right?
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
You're supporting this behavior with a reward. Yeah. Okay.
The incident occurred at a backcountry campsite that was occupied by five backpackers, two of whom were children. The backpackers were sitting outside of their tents when an adult female black bear entered the campsite and walked up to a woman, bit her on the right arm and head. The animal also nipped at the right hand of one of the children before walking over to the group's food and eating it. The food was under a storage pole but had not yet been hung up. When rangers arrived on horseback, they found the bear still eating at the campsite, so they had to put her down, unfortunately. Let's see here. A UK couple have won a battle to name their son Lucifer.
Lucifer!
Revealing the hellish time they had trying to use the band name. Dan and Mandy Sheldon tried to register their four-month-old son's name at their local council office last week, which had reopened after being shut down due to coronavirus, but they were dismayed when a council official told them that they cannot use the name, with Mr. Sheldon lodging an official complaint over the treatment. He said that the council employee had said their son wouldn't succeed in life with the name Lucifer, the name given to the devil when he was an angel before his fall from grace. They said, we were really excited to go and get him registered, but the woman looked at us in utter disgust. She told us that he would never be able to get a job, and the teachers wouldn't want to teach him. I tried to explain that we are not religious people, and Lucifer in Greek means light bringer and morning, but she wouldn't listen. Eventually, through gritted teeth, the official agreed to let them register their son's name as Lucifer.
Right outdoors.
Honestly, he said, we just thought it was a nice name, a unique one. We didn't expect to get so much grief about it.
They were trying to help him a little bit because the immediate, when you hear Lucifer, the connotation is the devil.
Yeah. In response to
the light bringer.
Their complaint, the Derbyshire Country Council apologized but said that it was the job of registrars to advise on the meaning of names.
We do apologize. However, it is extraordinarily stupid.
Could you name a child Hitler or like Adolf? No. Like, could you?
In Sweden, they have actually stopped parents from naming. They have something
Australia
in place.
Too.
Yeah. So I don't know what the story is here in the United States.
Yeah. A 19-year-old died on Sunday. This is a cautionary tale for you. Climbing Three-Fingered Jack is the name of it in the Cascade Mountain Range. Three-Fingered Jack is a popular hike for experienced and technical mountaineers. The deputies have received a report of a hiker falling from the mountain on Sunday. A witness said the hiker was climbing near the summit when rocks fell underneath, causing him to fall hundreds of feet. The mountain is known to have poor rock quality and steep cliffs near the summit. Todd Edelman, who's only 19, was found dead at the bottom of the cliff, approximately 7,300 feet in elevation. Officials said responders worked all night to retrieve his body. So, listen, if it's deemed expert experienced,
listen
you're
to
not,
what they're saying.
Don't
yeah.
do it, man. It's not worth it. One last story. Let's see. We need to end on something good before we head into the weekend. I have a bunch of downer stories that I keep tons of stories.
Yeah. And you try to balance it, but then sometimes you end up with a whole bunch of sad ones. Yeah. Can you take a story that's horrible and make it happy by lying?
Well, this one's not horrible. It's just kind of messed up. How about this? In Denver, Dr. Michelle Barron received an unusual call last month, and it was for trench fever.
Trench fever?
A rare condition transmitted by body lice that plagued soldiers during World War I.
Wow.
Yes. Barron, who said she'd...
I had three testicles.
It gives you three testicles.
Oh, my God.
Who said she'd never before seen a case in her 20 years here, contacted state public health officials who issued an advisory and said a fourth person with a suspected case had been identified. They asked physicians to be on the lookout for additional cases. Trench fever is characterized by relapsing fever, bone pain, particularly in the shins, headache, nausea, vomiting, and malaise. And some of those infected can develop skin lesions or a life-threatening infection of the heart valves. The condition is caused by the bacterium Bartonella quintana, a close relative of the bug that causes cat scratch fever.
So trench fever and cat scratch fever are related.
They're connected, yes. Colonies of it live in the digestive system of body lice and are excreted in their feces. The bugs can enter the body through a scratch in the skin or through the eyes or nose. Dried lice feces can be infectious for up to 12 months, by the way. But it's trench fever, and it's from World War One.
Wow.
And they're seeing it surface in Denver. It's pretty wild, yeah. All right, and there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you this morning. We're going to break. We're going to come back. We have a chance for you to win even more this morning. We have a lesson question from today's program. We'll also find out about the trash and the music news when we return, so make sure that you stay with us.
Listen to all the WMMR podcasts as well as a live stream on your Alexa-enabled device. Just say, Alexa, open MMR.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We do have today's lesson question and a prize associated with it. The question, or the prize, is a digital download of Caddyshack. And the question I think we're going to go with this morning is courtesy of our friend Bert Kreischer, who's on. When he's watching porn, what kind of glasses does Bert like to wear? 215-263-WMMR. He mentioned it in a little conversation about porn. What kind of glasses does Bert wear when he's watching porn? 215-263-WMMR. Call now. We're going to do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you by Godshall's. All the bacon taste, 80% less fat. The hometown favorite. Godshall's real wood-smoked turkey bacon. From their family of owners to yours, available at Acme, ShopRite, Wegmans, Redner's, Walmart, and Sam's Club. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Gwyneth Paltrow revealing in a recent interview that a famous person's wife taught her how to perform oral sex years ago. Paltrow says since then she's completely mastered the super deep, no-gag, hidden finger technique that Barbara Bush taught her.
Oh, wow.
Last-minute presidential candidate Kanye West, you know, he's been suffering a couple of mental episodes. Well, yesterday he announced his pick for vice president. West says he thought long and hard about this election and ultimately went with Smurfette.
Oh, Durka.
And finally, Brian Austin Green, an Australian model. Her name is Tina Louise. They had a short-lived romance. It's over. Louise admits she eventually could not deal with the thought that she was periodically tasting Courtney Stodden.
Wow. All right, let's see if we know the answer to this question. When he's watching porn, what kind of glasses does Bert Kreischer like to wear? 215-263-WMMR is the number. And let's hang on a second here, see if we can get somebody on the line. I'll go to Ryan for the answer. Sorry about that. Hey, Ryan, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Ryan, when he's watching porn, what kind of glasses does Bert Kreischer wear?
It should be beer goggles, but I'm going to go with bifocal.
Yeah! It's not exactly what he said, no.
Oh, really?
Yep, okay. Sorry, man. Oh, nope, sorry, there was buddy. Another answer we're looking for. All right, let me go to Mike J., who's on the line. Mike J., good morning.
Hi, sorry you guys bother each other at work.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
All right, when he's watching porn, what kind of glasses did Bert say he wears?
Readers.
Yeah. Which can be bifocals, but yeah, he said readers. So, Mike, hang on the line. We're going to get your information. We're going to give you a digital download of Caddyshack, the golf comedy classic starring Chevy Chase, Rodney Dangerfield, Bill Murray, and that pesky gopher. Celebrates its 40th anniversary this month, and you can own the Blu-ray and digital movie right now. So hang on, we'll get you info, and we're going to do this.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, we're going to start with this. Motley Crue's The Stadium Tour may be pushed back to 2021 due to the coronavirus pandemic, but Tommy Lee admitted that he's concerned that things may not return to normal during his lifetime. He tells the magazine, I want to be sitting behind my effing drums in a stadium with effing 60,000 people going effing ape-s because they can again. That, to me, that is priceless. You can't buy that. You can't effing rent it. You can't effing... You can't do any of it, but be it.
Yeah, he's exactly right.
It might be something.
Nailed it.
He's effing right.
He said that that it might be something that I will personally never experience again in my lifetime ever, and you may not either. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, no. That's depressing. Don't say that. No.
And, well, he's wrong, but yet he is one of the world's leading virologists. So we don't know.
No, I don't think that's what he's saying. I'm saying if it drags on and things continue to be canceled, then it may become too much. Logistical work for them. They haven't toured
maybe
in a long
time. Maybe he stops.
Time.
Yeah, maybe he says enough.
They might just bail on it. And,
maybe he becomes a Shakespearean actor.
Or he might die. He might die.
He could
Who
die.
Knows? Not necessarily from COVID. He just, his time might come. You never know. So Lee's third solo album, Andro, will be released on October 16th, by the way. Jimmy Page explained that there is little to no chance of Led Zeppelin ever hitting the road again. Really? Are we talking about this again?
I'm so sick of this.
Yeah, it's never going to happen. And but he said, you know, he talked about the fact
it's
got
like
together.
Being on effing stage, man, being in front of effing people, effing playing and effing loving things all the time.
Know what I'm saying? They played at London's O2 Arena in 2007. It was a one-off concert. He said, since then, the world has yet to stop clamoring for the long dormant band to take the show on the road.
Well, they bring it up all the time.
Recently, he said he had explained, he was asked about it, though. At the time of the O2, we thought, myself, John Paul Jones, and Jason, that they were going to do it. It was said that there were going to be some more dates. It would have been really good to have done that after the O2 because we had put a lot of work into it. And we were really ready. But
as Robert Plant didn't want to do it, right?
It didn't come off. I believe so. He
but
said,
you know what? In the long run, honestly, we don't need them. We have Nickelback.
Right.
Yeah.
No, he said it seems really unlikely there would ever be a tour in the future, unlike the Rolling Stones. They do sort of know that the fans love that. Also, I know that with Led Zeppelin fans, too. But it doesn't look as though there's anything in the future. And unfortunately, we're talking about a concert that was gigantic at the time, but that was 2007. Time passes, you know.
But they all still get along, right?
I don't know.
I don't know. You know, Robert Plant can be a pain in the ass.
Yep, exactly.
And I think, though, there might come a time where they'd get so, long in the tooth. They're wealthy many times over. Yeah. Money is the deciding factor. Always.
So that's the part that bothers me a little bit, and maybe talk me off the ledge here. Because right. You talk about their wealth, a thousand times over, whatever. That wealth does not exist. They don't have fans. And why not do something for the fans, you know, who put you there to begin with?
I'll tell you why. Because it's a lot of work, probably. Yeah. It's a lot of work. They are a lot older.
Sure.
And it's...
They're incontinent.
It's probably...
And they're feeble-minded.
Well, no, it's probably not that important to them anymore. And to be honest, I don't think Robert's heart is in Led Zeppelin music anymore. He likes country. He likes doing that type of thing. He just likes playing music that he likes. And that phase of his life is over with. And I just don't think it's a big deal. So he's moved on.
But you know what, though? It will remain always part of the discussion because of this.
Yeah.
They almost benefit from keeping it going, from not doing anything. Yeah. Because if they do join together and it sucks, well, that'll put the final,
nail
period
on
it. Yeah.
The live stream performances continue, this time with Stone Temple Pilots and its lead singer Jeff Gutt on Friday the 31st. So a week from today at 8 o'clock, the band will perform their 1992 album Core. The pay-per-view performance costs $9.99. It'll air via live music. Curator Nugs.tv.
Nugs?
Yeah.
Wow.
Sounds like a seahorse captain.
Yeah.
Seahorses forever.
The Stone Temple Pilots have also released a pair of concert recordings, one featuring original frontman Scott Weiland. And the performances were recorded in 2011 in Hampton Beach, New Hampshire. And the O2 Forum in London in 2019.
As they start to cycle through stuff and release things, how soon before they just release their outgoing cell phone messages?
Yeah, right. We used to call pot nugs. Do you ever call that?
Yeah. Nugs? I've heard that. I didn't call it that, but yeah, I've heard that term before.
Smoke some nugs this weekend.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't like brick dirt weed. It had to be tasty nugs.
For me, it was always chicken nuggets. I like both.
Yeah.
Brick dirt? Too.
No, nuggets and nugs.
Gonna eat some chicken nuggets this week. Gonna go some nugs.
Sometimes when you smoke nugs, then you want nuggets.
Yeah. By the way, we called that dish weed.
Yeah,
the crappy stuff. Yeah.
Dirt weed.
Yeah, all I got's a bag of dirt, man.
People even smoke that anymore?
Bad weed?
Yeah.
Not that I know of.
Okay, cool.
I think you can only get good stuff now.
Now you get like 1,000 times the potency of every,
oh my
you know.
God.
I know people who smoked years ago and have started to dabble in what is available now through the dispensaries, and their heads lift off their shoulders.
That's why Pierre doesn't touch the stuff anymore, because he had a current variety several years ago.
He killed a man.
And he killed a man.
He was so high.
With his bare hands.
Yeah, he strangled him to death and then drank his blood.
Yeah.
So I went to
this isn't for me.
This is off-putting.
I went to a fish concert last year, and guy had a...
Oh, dear.
He had a blunt that cost $50. The blunt itself is $50, and it was blunt that was, like, dipped in oil and then wrapped in keef.
Yeah, they call it Emily blunt.
I don't know what keef is.
You know what keef is?
No.
All right, so if you ever look at, like...
Is that a vaginal fart?
It is. That's a queef. That is a queef.
Sorry. Like a Keith Richards?
No.
Is that what the reference is?
And mind you, I'm clean for eight plus years.
This wasn't you smoking.
This is not me smoking, and I'm not condoning it.
This is Pierre that did this.
But no, so keef, if you look at, like, Good Buds, you know that, like, crystal on the on top of the leaves or whatever?
Yeah.
That's keef.
Okay.
So just keef?
That's basically just straight THC.
Somebody spent a lot of time.
Yeah.
I mean, how high do you need to get? You know?
That high.
Well, again, take Pierre's cautionary tale of murder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I mean, honestly, you must know people who have said, God, oh my God, it's far too much.
I don't remember keef, but I remember picking the hairs.
Yeah.
The purple hairs. Red, depending on what you got, and trying to get a whole thing of, and that was tedious work. It's like, they go through to make saffron. They have to do these really tedious picking of these little bitty things. That's there you
think about that. That time in your life, and now you have to make sure the pills are in the right day.
Oh, I have that. I got my cholesterol meds.
Oh, my God.
My probiotics.
Lipitor, my cod liver oil.
So if you've ever used...
Instead of the razor and cutting the things and shearing it off the weed, it's like, oh, my God, I put the Lipitor in the wrong day.
That's you ever used a coffee bean grinder to grind up your stuff to make brownies and stuff? Okay.
No, never did.
So if you do that, like, the keef ends up all in the top of the lid.
Okay. Mm. All right. Back
if you're using it for medicinal purposes.
This has been Keith Chat.
It's been drug news. Now back to music news. Motorhead will mark 40th anniversary of the 1980 album Ace of Spades by releasing a special deluxe collector's box set and other items. And two different super deluxe box sets are being offered. A 2-CD and book and 3-LP and book edition. And each will be available on October 30th.
Boy, that's a wild list. And book and paper.
Yeah. Depending on the box set you choose, other special collector's items included in the packaging are shot glasses, playing cards, the Ace Up Your Sleeve tour program, and the Motorhead Rock Commando comic.
So when you have this stuff, do you actually use it? Do you put the shot glasses out, or you just keep it in its collector case?
Some people do one or the other.
My friend Dwayne bought the Gene Simmons, the Kiss.
Yeah, the safe. Yeah.
You know, I mean.
Does he do anything with it?
Not that I know of. Okay. I mean, he loves it. It makes him incredibly happy. But, I mean, it's not like wise investments like Batman statues.
Right. I was going to say, do you ever like set them? You can't obviously, you're talking about using things like shot glasses and so on, but will you sit one of your Batman next to you and watch a movie or something like that?
I do. Okay. They have to know that so he knows that I'm watching.
Good. One last thing, and we talked about this earlier, and it is the 40th anniversary of an amazing album, AC/DC's Back in Black. So tomorrow, 40 years ago, tomorrow is when that took place. The first time out without Bon Scott, he had died, obviously, and Brian Johnson is the guy who took over. One of those rare occasions where they surpassed, were already on a successful track, and then they went way beyond and created one of the most successful rock albums of all time. And it was 40 years ago, so we are celebrating that here on MMR this weekend. And it is the MM Artist Weekend with AC/DC, and it's the Saturday Night Concert Series as well. So you're going to be able to hear tracks from AC/DC. Let me see here. I got to read this specifically. Otherwise, because I'm a little confused by this thing.
You got your readers on?
No, I don't have my readers on. Blocks every hour honoring the Landmark album and tracks from Bon Scott and Brian Johnson eras. But then on Saturday night, the official event is taking place, and it will be an hour of AC/DC live commercial-free. Pretty sweet deal. So that starts at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. And every Saturday night, there's a different band each week, all summer, the best rock concerts from around the globe and right here in Philly. But we're going to celebrate Back in Black this weekend. And it's brought to you by Acme Markets, official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show.
I think I'm going to watch that Behind the Music. It's one of my favorite Behind the Music. So yeah. I love that series. But yeah, the AC/DC one is, they're so loyal. And, you know, the fraternal sense in that band is so amazing. And it's a really great story.
Yep.
Is it pouring out right now? I can't tell the stupid tint on the windows.
I think it is. There is rain dripping down the windows. Yes, exactly. Okay.
Cool.
Like tears from God.
We good on that?
Yeah, we good.
There's okay. Rain dripping down the windows.
All right, and that's all I have in music news for you. We're going to take a break, and when we get back, we're going to wrap this whole thing up. Bill Weston has been standing in the corner quietly this entire time. We'll see if he's okay. But we'll check in with Pierre, and we'll give you the Word of the Week prize. Stay with us.
Everything that rocks includes cool MMR swag you can wear. Available now in the MMR Rock Shop.
Like t-shirts, hoodies, and tank tops.
With designs from retro MMR logos to the latest from the Preston and Steve Show branded hats and tops. For guys and gals, all with the MMR attitude you expect.
Plus a few things to keep your pie hole happy, like coffee mugs and masks.
Search the word shop at WMMR.com and get shopping. Stuff for you, gifts for them. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks your wardrobe.
Today's Friday. No sad, bro. We're happy that you've chose to join us this morning. We may reward that in a moment because we have our Word of the Week prize to give away here shortly. We are going to say thank you to our good friend Bert Kreischer for being on the program today. Bertie boy is coming to town, and he will be here August 16th. He's going to be in the parking lot of the Citizens Bank Park, and it is part of the Live Nation Live In Drive-In, and it's a series of concerts and shows, and Bert is he's been doing the scene, knows how to pull it off.
He's got it down to a science, and I thought it's a cool concept. After the performance, he rides around in the back of a golf cart and safely social distances a meet and greet.
Yep, it's pretty cool, man. So Bert was good to talk to him. He's excited about it. Tickets went on sale about 48 minutes ago. So hopefully you're going to get yours, and it's one ticket per car, four people per car. So that's how that whole thing works out. If you want to know the do's and don'ts of the Live-In Drive-In, you can just check out WMMR.com because the info is right there. Pierre Robert is here this morning, and we're going to get a letter from him in just a moment and give away that prize. How you doing, man?
Great.
Excellent.
I had asked you, though, not to talk about the pot murder.
Oh, man. Sorry about that.
I forgot that conversation we had. Remember, I apologize.
Because the statute of limitations did not yet run out.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Listen, you regret every aspect of it. I mean, you were so gone, you know, when you boiled the guy's head. It was not. That was not.
And
that's
I'm a
not
vegetarian.
You. Yeah, exactly. So that's what makes it. Everyone knows you wouldn't eat that meat.
Right.
Yeah. Right. It was just. It was
the perfect alibi, really, when you think about it.
Well, true. It is. Thank you.
Yeah.
Counselor.
It is true, though, that the people I know who used to dabble years ago who have tried newer stuff say, "Oh my God."
Well, I mean, this happened because I back in, you know, a long time ago, I was quite a regular, shall we say. And then listeners occasionally give me, I'll shake a hand, back in the days when you could shake a hand, and you'd come out and, oh, there's a joint there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'd stash it away. And then I was at this party and someone said, "I wish I had a joint." And I go, "My God, I've got that in my wallet or whatever." And I... And then we went and smoked it, and then...
Seahorses forever.
I didn't even see horses. Within an hour, I was on the floor, and I face down on the floor, and I couldn't move.
Wow.
And I didn't even know the place we were at, and the guy goes, "Dude, you got to leave." And I'm going... And He goes, "You've got to leave." And I couldn't talk, and I was just like melding into the carpet and going, "Just please leave me alone." I couldn't even get that out. And he's going, and then his friend goes, "Well, we better call an ambulance." And somehow I was able to exit it, but it wasn't pretty.
Yeah, and you don't want to lose control like that.
Remember that, Kathy?
Yes, honey.
Yeah.
That was a scary time.
You came and picked me up, like you always do. Anyway, that's how it went.
He's cleaned himself up, though,
yes.
Folks. All
hell
that behind
yeah.
Him. Absolutely.
Hell yeah.
Hurt you.
Let's do the letter, my man. Ready?
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Kristen and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
E as in Ethel.
All right, and we'll take caller number 9 at 215-263-WMMR, who knows the word of the week, to give us that word. And then we got this prize that I think you'll be happy about. So get on it now, 215-263-WMMR. That is the number. Give us a call. How you doing otherwise today, man? You set for a great radio program?
I am. Cool. And I wanted to plug this thing that's happening with these unemployed events industry people. So this is local concert staff. This is anyone who works conventions, you know, all these kinds of different things that people are involved in that have all been out of work.
Yeah.
They're having a little rally at City Hall at 11:30 this morning. They're calling themselves the Events Industry, and apparently it's a nationwide group, and you can get more event or more interest or more information, excuse me, at liveeventscoalition.com. But at 11:30, they're going to meet on the north side of City Hall, and just a short like program from 12 to 12:30, and the Geeter's going to host it. Jerry Blavitt will be down there. And then they'll make one march around City Hall. And it's just because so many of those folks have been so hurt, they're just trying to bring attention to what's going on and hopefully get a little help from Congress.
Something. They've been decimated.
I mean, and you think of concerts, but it's not just concerts. It's, you know, it's the ticket takers. It's the people selling beer and, you know, pretzels at the concerts. It's the janitorial staff. It's, you know, there's all these tentacles of an event, and it's not just concerts. I mean, it could be sports events. It could be conventions or, you know, business gatherings. And so they've all been put out of work, and it's been a rough go for those folks and may be continuing to be a rough go. So
it's 11:30 today?
Yeah, it's 11:30 today, and liveeventscoalition.com has got information, and anyone is welcome to go and just, throw support in for those really great men and women.
There's a good friend of the station, a guy who's become a good friend of ours, my wife and I, DJ Perry, who is just the nicest guy, charitable, donates all sorts of stuff. Kind of does a lot of the DJing over at the Wells Fargo and other events. All that came to a screeching halt. And he's like, you know, what's going on? And then people left it between, you know, a rock and a hard place in very desperate situations. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, think if you go to a theater for, you know, a Broadway production kind of thing, the ushers, you know, the security folks, you know, the people who... you know, bring you into the parking lots. All these different levels of people who've been out of work as a result of no events. So it's an acknowledgement of them.
Yep.
So I think that's pretty cool. Now, what else? I've got on the program, because of our big AC/DC weekend, got a workforce block of AC/DC. And then because of the fact that there are no concerts except for our live-in drive-in concert, which has just gone on sale, as you mentioned, with Bert and with the Struts and with members of Shinedown. We're going to do a big block of Struts and Shinedown material and welcome everybody. And you guys had one carload, I think, to give away, did you not?
Yeah, we gave it away.
And I have one carload to give away as well.
Excellent.
And apparently these are not going to be, we're not going to have many of these.
Okay. Because there's not as many parking spaces as there are seats. And there are four people to get fit in, but less tickets, meaning, you know, you have four person per car limit.
As you would expect.
Yeah. So we're not going to have many, if any, more of these to give away, Eric tells me, our promotion director. So I will have one carload to give away during that block. I'll have another Grateful Dead Working Man's digital download to give away and get to that new Stone song. And I think we're going to try to get a block of Pink Floyd in, too. So it should be an action-packed program.
Love it. All right, we're going to go to the phones and see if we can get the Word of the Week prize out of this guy. I'm going to go to Mike. Hey, Mike.
Hey,
what's up?
Yo, bub, we are looking for the word of the week. What is it?
Vibe. V-I-B-E.
Gabba Gabba Hey!
Yes! That means you win, Mike.
Excellent.
All right, congratulations. We're going to set you up with a pair of Ron Jaworski golf passports, and each passport entitles you to 8 total rounds of golf, so 16 altogether, wow. And that's one at each of his 6 locations, a 7th bonus round locally, and the 8th round at Honey Run in York, PA, Summer Street. So congratulations to you, Mike.
Thank you much, man. You guys rock.
Thanks, buddy. Hang on the line. We'll get your information. Take care of you, and don't forget that the Ron Jaworski Golf Passport is the MMR Big Friggin' Deal this week, so you can get that now at WMMR.com. The keyword is deal. Now, supplies are limited. This deal runs out. It sells very quickly. It's 8 rounds of golf for just $89. That's a lot. Shipping included. So make sure you go check out the Big Friggin' Deal. Want to thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show has been brought to you today by HERS, the official snack food of summer. Also by Godshall's Real Wood Smoked Turkey Bacon. And by Hyundai City Park. Shop the summer drive sales event for sizzling hot discounts. Only at HyundaiCity.com. Next week on the program, we have some guests that will be joining us. Al Roker will be one of them. Jerry O'Connell will be one of them.
Excellent.
And Steve O will be on the program, too.
That's a good roster.
I like it. That is it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Everybody got to go on all these cool gondola rides. I never got to go on a gondola. Only time I ever got to go anywhere near close to a gondola was when I had gondolaria.
Next message.
Hey, Mike. What day is it, Mike? Anything? No. It's no sad, bro. Friday.
Next message.
This is for Marissa. La-di-da-di-da. Oh, road work.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.